The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Thursday Night Destruction, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to head on over to iTunes to Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping on Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com first and click the Amazon button. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase goes to help the show. If you'd like to put our logo on your chest, head over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick up one of our Kick logo shirts. Or if you prefer, pick up one of our Shining Wizards Network or any of our other design shirts over at ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Come follow us at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, become our friends on Facebook at Shining Wizards, or send us some hate mail at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards, we'd like to thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast featuring Jamin Olivencia, featuring the biggest superstar that's rising right now, featuring the guy that has more emotion, more passion than anybody that's out there right now. And you know what? That's the truth. And you know what? That's real. That's damn real.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what?
You listen to your kid. Start the show.
We already started.
I got a bone to pick with you, dicko, before this even starts.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Bowman. Shining Wizard Matt, breaking kayfabe.
Kayfabe with the last
Everybody
name,
knows what your last name is,
I don't need these creeps looking me up on Facebook. I got enough.
They show up at my house. It's about time they show up. I mean, I'm sorry. The Studio A. It's about time they showed up at Studio B.
I don't need you show up at my house, I ain't letting you in. Just a heads up.
I like showing
Not
up.
Not you.
Me? Oh, you're talking about the creeps.
Oh, my God. If a fan of the podcast showed up, I would politely be like, yeah, you're going to go home now. And then when they didn't, I would spray you in the face with mace.
You don't have to say go home. You have to say you can't stay here.
Okay. Right. So anyway.
Be like, you don't have to go home. That's what I say at the end of the night at the bar. I'm like, you don't got to go home, but I suggest you do.
I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
Kevin.
All right, let's see what the bone picking
all
is.
Right. So, first of all, I want to give last week, great episode, by the way. Your interview with Rhino.
Rhino?
I loved it.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And the Damian Gibbs stuff was great. Damian is a great, great, great interview, and I'm so annoyed that I missed it because it sounded like you guys had a great time, and I didn't even get to take a picture with him. Although, rock the purple hair, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
That
was a bit. That was a bit disappointing. You're right. Although he did bring us goodies. Did you notice?
I heard.
We have Snicker bars in the fridge.
I saw that. I'm good. I got this. I'm getting over the
Eddie
flu.
Eddie took home the M&Ms. Okay. That's why he's not here today, because he's still eating them all, and he has a tummy ache.
Because Eddie isn't here. Okay. I give prop. Kevin stuck up for me. Every time I'm not here, you and Eddie decide you're going to pick on me.
Oh, this is my kid's favorite part of the episode.
First of all, your kid shouldn't even be sitting down here with us, because I have a mouth like a pirate. Secondly, he shouldn't be listening to this podcast, because this is not child friendly.
Okay.
Point taken. You and Fat Fingers Phil Rea decide it's okay to order a pizza with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at our table.
And somebody to my right decided it was a good idea, after giving us a lashing about it, to have a slice of pizza by himself.
Yeah, because somebody had to leave Legends of the Ring and go to work. So it was a good idea to have something to eat, considering I was super hungover.
It just wasn't a good idea for us to order a pizza. Which you ate with Ricky Steamboat, not 10 feet to your right.
I'm pretty sure you ate pizza too, dicko.
I did. I'm not saying I didn't.
And I don't know what happened.
I think the Stallion actually ate most of the pizza.
I don't know what happened after I left, But I don't know. Did Kevin have a slice? Did Eddie have a slice?
Did not touch the pizza.
I ate a slice.
You did?
I paid for half of it. Why shouldn't I have a slice?
That's your own fault.
Whoa. So you ate our free pizza, even though you complained about it, and now you're saying it's my fault?
Yes.
Look, the pizza took 2 hours to get there. That's also out of my control.
Well, you know what? It wasn't your first time at the rodeo. You should have known there wasn't going to be food at Legends of the Ring.
There's always food. Joel Gertner had his own buffet packed when he came and sat with us.
The restaurant's right there. You could have had
Joel Gertner is a salty vet.
And we're not?
No.
This is our third Legends, bro.
Ordering out pizza so you and Fat Fingers can scoff down some slices. And then I decide I need to eat before I leave.
So you partake in the pizza which you crucified us for.
Just because Bill Apter decides to do an interview with the Honky Tonk Man and I'm in the background, I'm going to get my balls busted?
Yes.
No.
You got caught, my friend.
I'm not denying that I had pizza.
Did you see the look on your face in that picture?
I was starving.
You were shifty. Eyed, looking around, going, "I hope these boys don't see me scarfing this pizza."
So wait, whose picture was that?
It was on Bill Apter's video.
So who screenshotted it?
Me.
Oh, you did.
And then he goes on this. Oh, look, don't deny it. You were caught. I never denied it to begin with.
Yeah, but you look.
See, I didn't know that you had pizza either.
You just gave us crap, and I think that was unjustified, considering the fact that you partook in the pizza.
Well, it was there.
Shame on you guys. You robbed the bank. Yeah, let me get a couple bucks. I want to go out and buy something.
You didn't think there was anything wrong with you and Fat Tits ordering a pizza
and letting me,
Fat Tits, eat a slice of pizza.
It's not like we put the pizza down in front of Ricky Steamboat and said, "Here you go, Ricky. Have a slice on the house."
You know what? Maybe you should have offered Ricky Steamboat a slice of pizza. That probably would have been the nice thing to do.
Oh, brother.
I don't understand why when I'm not here, I have to get my balls busted.
But that's what we
do. At least do it when I'm here so I can defend myself.
Don't we, though?
I don't think you defend
yourself.
And
now I got to wait a whole week. My memory's all foggy. I've had the flu. I've been stuffing Mucinex down my throat. I've been
among other things. Caught.
Very clever.
You have AIDS. Oh, my God, I have fucking AIDS. I'm going to die.
Nice. I see the soundboard is up and working properly.
Where were you stuffing the Mucinex?
In your face. Good God.
Always a good one, the in your face.
I love the in your face. Going back and listening to that interview again where Kevin was asking. Dude, Kevin was so afraid to use the word ass. He's like, you're a Samoan's pimply, sweaty butt.
Wasn't there a kid right in the first seat?
There couldn't have been. They allow kids at Crossroads?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, they do.
I think you were just embarrassed. You saw that couple sitting there eating their chicken wings, trying to have a date night.
I don't get embarrassed over saying the word ass.
Oh, I know. A couple hours and a couple drinks in, you were letting everything fly later on in the show.
Listen, they take care of me over there.
They're good people over at Crossroads and Garwood.
So, I don't know if you touched on it last week, and maybe the fans of the podcast are interested. Make any headway with the Drew Gulak t-shirt?
No, we didn't even bring it up. He's dead to the show.
He's dead to the show.
Actually, from what I understand, CZW is going to be up in our neck of the woods this week and next week.
Yeah, I know this Saturday they're in Deer Park. Shut up.
Really?
Sorry. They're in Deer Park, New York. Is that Deer Park?
Long Island.
Yeah.
Is that Long Island.
Long Island or is that Queens? Deer Park might be Long Island. Long Island is
part of New York.
Yeah, but not part of Queens.
Yeah, but it's not as close as, say, like Brooklyn.
Or Queens, yeah.
But when you mail something, it still goes to New York.
Yeah, we're aware of Long Island's geographical positioning.
I'm just pointing it out. So wait, are you saying you're going to confront Drew Gulak this weekend?
Dude, it's Halloween weekend, dude. You know how many parties and shenanigans are going on? Not the least of which is...
And you're invited to none of them?
Well.
Oh.
A boo.
Are you going to be... Please be Butterbean.
I'm not. I'm going to be Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle.
I could see you as Butterbean.
Dude, because my kid's being Donatello. I have to dress up with him.
Do you?
I was trying to get my wife to be April O'Neil. She refused.
Some creepy cosplay stuff.
Nah, dude. It's cool.
Deer Park's on the island.
Deer Park. That's not where ECW used to run, though, right?
No, they ran in the Queens Elk Lodge.
That's right.
Elks.
That's Lodge. In Queens.
There you go.
All right. The Queens Elk Lodge actually is in Queens. Thanks,
that makes
Tony.
Sense.
That's right.
All right, so you are Just, I want to clarify.
Dude, I don't know if...
So you're done with Drew Gulak, is what
you're
saying. Oh,
no, I want my shirt.
Oh, so this battle is not over.
It's taking a break right now because we have more pressing matters. We're speaking to one half of Harlem Heat tonight, Stevie Ray.
That's right.
Which we haven't mentioned because somebody went off on a pizza rant.
All right. That's ironic because I do pizza. Yeah, the Slapjack Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Get it trending on Twitter. That's what the Stevie Ray does. And he's going to hit us with the Slapjack, the Fruit Booties. And Tony can ask him about his favorite Booker T gaffe.
What gaffe would that be, Matt?
Don't you have the soundbite?
No, I was asking you.
Now, when I need to know, when you ask him, are you going to say nigga?
I'm going to say.
No, you're not.
Well, there, that answers your question.
As long as I'm here, you're not saying that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know if he'd be cool with that.
Well, we can
we could play the soundbite.
No, we talked
to him. Hey, Stevie Ray, do you remember this?
Just ask him what it was like when Booker T dropped the N-bomb to Hulk Hogan.
I like how we're doing show prep during the show.
No, this is good entertainment.
No, I think that's a great, because I don't want.
Here's how we do it. We go, you were involved in this interview. Your brother drops the N-bomb. He covers his face because he knows what he said. Sherry looks at him.
Laughs.
Giggling the whole time. And you stonewall it and continue the interview. Did you realize what was said? Did you think anything of it?
Has he answered this question before?
I don't know.
I don't see a lot of Stevie Ray interviews floating around.
I know they've asked Booker T about it. I know that. I've seen that. I've seen footage of that. I don't think anybody's ever asked Stevie Ray.
Oh, this will be good then. This is. I'm excited.
I want to ask him what it was like to work with.
The whole interview should just be that question. And I'd be like, all right, Stevie, thanks for joining us.
Well, I want to know what it was like working with Ahmed Johnson and Clarence Mason.
Yeah, the Harlem Heat 2000.
Yeah, 2000.
You know, Clarence Mason is a real
attorney. Yeah. So is David Otunga.
Otunga Bunga.
Ooh. He hasn't been around at all lately.
I was telling Kevin that I was watching Harlem Heat matches this past weekend. They were like bigger than a lot of the
dude. They're
a
huge.
Lot of
they're monsters.
They're fucking enormous.
Yeah,
I gotta know what's up with the Breathe Right too,
dude. I was watching a match today with them against the Faces of Fear from Nitro. And Ming and Barbarian aren't small guys, but Harlem Heat like.
They're
power
tall
over
and big dudes.
Yeah,
man.
They're tall and jacked, and they have good sinuses because of the Breathe Rights.
I wish I had time to look. They had quite a few matches with Legion of Doom there in WCW.
Which is also,
I would like to see how they would have looked size wise. I really don't
not
remember.
Not as many as you think they did.
Yeah, but they
LOD
were...
showed back up in '96 on Nitro, and then all of a sudden just disappeared after 3 weeks, and then they went back to WWE. I think in '97, '98.
Well, that was when they played off Hawk's drunkenness, and then Animal showed up as the mystery guy that broke Sid's leg.
Yeah, that was. you're missing like years of gaps in between your timeline there, but
yeah, whatever. They did work with Legion of Doom at some point.
Yes, when they came back to WCW, that was when the tag division there was so hot with like Steiners, LOD, Luger, and Sting.
And I want
to
ask him what he was like to play the original Kane.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, you like
Kane
that,
and
right?
Cole, right?
That's pretty clever.
Was that global or was that when they were in
that
WCW?
That was WCW too? First run. That was with Sister Sherry, wasn't it?
No, yeah, they definitely had it in WCW, but I want to remember what their names were and
they were
global.
The Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah,
no, it was the Ebony Experience. He was
Ebony Express.
Ebony Experience. I think it was.
Okay.
It was.
You have three laptops sitting.
It was
of us,
Soul
none of us...
something.
Soul Jive Soul. Bro,
no, that was Slick. Relax.
No, he was Jive Soul something. Hold on, I'm gonna tell you.
Somebody, it was Soul something or other.
I remember they had like green and black trunks.
You know, I started watching GWF when they started the reruns again on ESPN.
Do they still
have
those?
Jive Soul Bro.
What?
Stevie Ray or Booker T?
Teaming with his brother, Stevie Ray, named after Stevie Ray Vaughan, blah, blah. The Ebony Experience. They don't say...
Well, because Booker was there originally, and then Stevie came in and joined them. They feuded, and then they...
First started feuding with his brother, G.I. Bro, under the ring name. Jive Soul Bro. It doesn't say what his tag team name was when they were in Global, but he wrestled as Jive Soul Bro when he was.
Was
in
he
Texas.
Always lying to his friends?
I don't know. We can ask him that too.
This is going to be a hoot nanny humdinger of a good time.
He was known as Kane.
Yeah, Kane and
Cole.
Kane
and Cole. Yeah, I wish Eddie. Eddie's good with the G, the Global Force. Not Global Force.
Global Force.
the GWF stuff. He would know his name, and I'm sure he's yelling at his
computer
right now while he's listening to this. But we have other things we can talk about.
Ooh, I got news.
Well, was.
There's a pay per view this weekend.
There was a pay per view.
Well, are we going to get into that? You want to do that first?
Yeah,
all right,
I
want to
get
that.
Into it. Hell in a Cell. 2014, for all you PG dorks, Heck in a Cell.
Heck on the Deck.
I saw bits and pieces. I can tell you what I watched in its entirety. Randy Orton, John Cena, I saw.
I did too. I watched that today, actually.
Which I thought was awesome.
I thought they did a great job, although there was one point during the match where Cena went for the second shoulder block. And Randy hit the RKO out of nowhere.
It was awesome.
That should have been the ending.
No, the ending should have been when Cena had him in the FU and Cena threw him over and Randy Orton hit the RKO out of the FU.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That should have been the ending if Randy Orton was going to win the match.
Yeah, they really got some innovative ways to throw the RKO out there.
Because that was the first time I think I've seen Orton deliver like that.
I wonder if those two sat down and said, you know, we've done this a million times and people are killing us. Let's go out there and do something different.
I mean, I don't think anyone had any low expectations of what they can do in the ring together.
I don't. Here's the problem with the match. Great match, I'll agree. It didn't need to be in Hell in a Cell. There was no reason for that match to be in Hell in a Cell.
I mean,
there was not. It was not a blow off to some big harangue. You know what I'm saying?
But if I have to choose between seeing John Cena versus Randy Orton one more time, I'd rather it be something else.
It could have been no holds barred. They could have easily done that.
They might as well have it in the cell then. I think.
Yeah. One thing
especially when the pay per view is gimmicked after it, and you have to have at least more than one match in it. What other match? I'm not gonna put the Usos. You're not going to put the Usos versus Goldust and Stardust in a Hell in a Cell. You're not going to put...
Yeah, but they don't have a blood feud going, you know?
That's what I'm saying. If they have to make more than one match in the Hell in a Cell, I mean, you could have said maybe Big Show Rusev could have gone in the Hell in the Cell, but...
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Lockdown. I'm not a fan of Elimination Chamber just because they shoehorn everybody into this match. You know, it should be saved like the old days for the big blow-off and not just be a whole pay-per-view gimmick, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but that's...
But I agree with Matt. I did enjoy the match. I thought it was great.
I agree.
Unfortunate that Cena won, but it all made sense. It all made sense.
I mean, I feel like Eddie has echoed the same thought. They really don't have bad matches, the two of them.
No, they don't, but it's just the same. It's just, you know, same, you know, different day.
I would rather, like, we haven't seen Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton in 10 years. So I would much rather see that. If you have to keep John Cena in the mix, keep him in the mix and do like a three-way sort of deal where everyone wants to kill each other. But Brock Lesnar's only back for, whatever, 4 or 5 matches a year. I'd much rather see Brock Lesnar, something that I haven't seen twice already, which is I'd rather see Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. But
right.
We're not getting that, so...
No, well, you're not getting much of Brock Lesnar to begin with.
Which is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be okay not having a champion around. You need your champion around. You need your champion to make appearances.
At least for, like, even if it was, like, one-on, one-off, like SummerSlam he did, and then he wasn't there for Hell in a Cell, and then he's back for Survivor Series.
Which I don't think he's going to be, right?
No, they already announced the Team Authority versus Team Cena. Which I like the... See... The Orton Cena thing, like the outcome makes sense because of what they have lined up for Orton.
Do you think Orton's going to wind up on Cena's team?
No, because I think...
You think that's when the turn happens?
I think that's when the turn happens.
During Survivor Series. Okay, makes
like,
sense.
Like, it's down to Cena against Orton and Rollins, and Rollins and Orton are arguing who's going to go in, and Orton gets rolled up, and he's eliminated. He turns around, RKO's Rollins, Cena pins him, Team Cena wins. And then...
Is there any stipulation to this, or is there any, like, losing of position of authority or anything
know.
Like
they
that?
Haven't, I mean,
no
there's some time to build, so that hasn't really come out yet.
Right.
But it makes sense. I like the idea of Orton and Rollins.
So do I. I have no problem with that if Rollins, which I think he will, go over. But I'm still not 100% buying. I started out buying into him as a top guy, but now I'm not. Rollins.
No, why?
I don't know. He just doesn't. I guess it's just that intangible that you can't really describe. Where I think Ambrose has it, Rollins doesn't. I don't know if it's because he's saddled with Triple H and Stephanie the entire time, but I think he's phenomenal in the ring, obviously. But for some reason, I'm just not seeing him as a guy that could be the champion.
Okay, fair enough. So Cena Orton, great match. Did you catch Cesaro Ziggler?
Yeah, good match.
Yeah, I watched that too. I thought that was great.
Little surprised that Ziggler won both falls.
But Ziggler's been losing so much, I think he kind of needed that.
But now Cesaro is officially, if he wasn't already, after what happened at that pay-per-view, losing both falls and getting the absolute crap kicked out of him. I'm saying crap because there's a kid here. Out of him the next night by Ambrose. I mean, how could you possibly restore anyone's belief that this guy is credible
at
all?
This guy also won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania. And we got saddled with Paul Heyman, and then that disappeared. Right. And then he's been in these feuds with Sheamus, and now with Ziggler, and now I guess with he's going to be fine, dude. He's going to be fine.
How is that fine? None of anything that's happened is fine.
Because in the world of WWE now, they're going to forget about all these losses in a couple weeks, and he'll be right back in the mix. It's going to happen.
You roll your eyes, but he's right. Ryback was gone for what, 2 months?
Yeah, he was gone for 2 months. He was off TV. He was out of the picture. Cesaro has been continuously made to look like a chump.
Yeah, and so was Ziggler up until the pay-per-view.
Right. And
Ziggler lost four matches in a row.
And do you think that people are going to automatically just all of a sudden believe that Ziggler can beat freaking Brock Lesnar or John Cena? No one's going to buy that.
Well, Ziggler, he got the win on Sunday, and he's going to be on Team Cena for Survivor Series.
Right, and he'll probably lose.
And he beat Kane Monday night.
Yeah.
Look, they're letting him win. Maybe they're trying to bring credibility back to the IC strap, and maybe it's at the cost of Cesaro. Maybe they're just going to restart the Cesaro gimmick.
I hope you're right, but I think everything is too far gone with all of these guys, with all of the mid-card guys like Ziggler, like Cesaro, even Sheamus. Like, it's just the same thing over and over again, and I try to be as positive as I can, but Cesaro, like, I think is too far gone. Ziggler might have a shot just because of his natural popularity with the crowd, and he still gets pops bigger than just about 90% of the roster every single time he comes out. So you could probably salvage Ziggler, but I mean, unless they do something different with Cesaro, and which I thought should have been turning him babyface right after WrestleMania, but I don't know. Call him crazy.
Did you, Usos, Goldust, Stardust, any good?
Didn't see it.
I saw it. Good match. Great match, but again, it's another match that has no fire to it.
They retain the straps?
Yes.
What did Sheamus and The Miz fight?
Yes.
Any, I know you like The Miz.
Sheamus won.
Yeah, feller.
Yeah, fella! I mean, I'm, it was more of a comedy match to me than it was actual, it was a good match, but it was all Sandow. It was the Sandow thing, trying to put over Sandow.
Lopez, Mr. Dan Lopez, actually made a suggestion, and I thought it was pretty genius. And it kind of works on the way Kevin predicted that it was going with the gimmick. What if Sandow was actually truly his stuntman? And Sandow took all the beatings, but then when it was time, you know, for him to get his heat back, then The Miz took over.
They did that.
They did?
Sandow beat somebody, and Miz was on commentary, and then Miz was saying, I won, because he's my stunt double. Like, I won the match, and he was celebrating like he won the match.
Okay, but take it a step further. Like, let Sandow take the beating, and then when Sandow makes the comeback, they switch off, and The Miz takes over. Like, The Miz does all, like, the easy stuff, but then when it comes to the beatings, like, Sandow takes them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not a fan of the whole thing. I'm in the minority, I know that for sure, but I'm just not a fan of the whole thing anyway, so.
Well, it would just make sense for the two of them just to become a tag team and get it over with.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you said, I want nothing but main event for Miz, so I'm going to be totally biased every single time.
I hear you. I like The Miz, too.
Speaking of bias, how was your Bella Twins dog shit match?
You just answered your own question.
You know something? I was really... First, I had it in my head that maybe this is finally going to be it for the Bellas, and then maybe Nikki would get like such a, like so aggravated that she lost that she would quit, and then they figure some way to finagle and weasel her back, maybe as like a general manager. No such luck. This horrid feud that's been going on forever is going to continue.
At least for the time being.
For at least another 24 or 5 days.
Who won?
Because
I don't care.
Nikki. Oh, Nikki.
Nikki Knockers won?
And she won pretty clean. Clean as a sheet, actually.
So now, oh, God, I just threw up. Bree is Bree's the boss, huh?
No, Nikki's the boss.
Nikki's the boss, and Bree's the bitch, excuse me.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Very.
Mark Henry beat Bo Dallas, so...
But that was on Raw, wasn't
that
it?
That was on the pre-show.
Oh, the kickoff show?
Yeah.
I saw AJ versus Paige, which I like Paige's like tights. They're like ripped in the back, and you can see her little pasty white hiney.
Ugh. Jesus.
Again, nothing to write home about.
You have AIDS.
Probably. It was pretty terrible. And then Alicia Fox and Paige are breaking up. They're not BFFs.
Nobody cares.
They're not biffles.
Nobody cares.
They should. AJ is looking fine.
She is looking fucking
stop,
good.
Stop.
What?
No.
Really?
Stop.
I think she's putting back a little bit of
no,
the
but
meat.
This is all I'm hearing. Like, oh, the match. Yeah, but Paige looks good and AJ. No, I don't care anymore.
Well, I don't watch the Divas to see a wrestling match. But it's just stuff for the spank bank.
Really?
Yeah.
In 2014, with everything that you could possibly have available to you, you require Vince McMahon and his World Wrestling Entertainment to get your rocks off.
Well, not Vince McMahon per se, but yes.
How often can you see a chick take like a aluminum baseball bat? Listen,
I'm never gonna bang AJ for real. So I mean,
go online, type in AJ lookalike, and I'm sure you'll find plenty of stuff.
Yeah, but it's not me. Like in my head, I'm banging her.
There you go. How do you like them apples?
I wish I had Turn It Up so I could play banging it.
Turn It Up. Rusev, Big Show.
Oh, wait. Wait. This describes this one.
No, really? Not at all.
That was a good match. I actually liked it.
Come on. Crying Big Show again.
He didn't cry. All right. Cry. Well, that one has nothing to do with the match itself.
He didn't cry.
He always cries.
I didn't like the
I'm
Mark
so
Henry
sick
thing.
Of him.
What?
Like him coming out? Like
well, you know
the
they
match.
Broke up,
did you,
right?
You didn't watch.
No, yeah, I know. I know. Another great Mark Henry Big Show feud.
So where's this going to lead Rusev now? Who's next? Sheamus?
Ryback.
Oh, Ryback? Really?
Oh, they're not going to feed Ryback to him after he got the best segment of the night on Raw, and they're going to feed him to Rusev?
Well, they ain't. It ain't going to be Kurt Angle.
That's true. Kurt Angle signed with TNA.
Oh.
Part-time deal.
So why not have Ryback? Look. Rusev can't go undefeated forever.
Where's McGillicuddy? Isn't he coming back?
Ryback.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Isn't he Rusev? Isn't he Ryback's tag partner?
I don't think. I think they squashed that.
I hope they did because Ryback is awesome. I'm around on Ryback. I'm a Ryback guy.
Okay.
I mean, look. I guess we'll get into it when we talk Raw. Let's finish Hell in the
Cell.
Yeah,
let's finish up Hell in the Cell.
I mean, they're all intertwined. It's a follow-up.
Yeah,
Raw.
I mean, I think Ryback coming back is huge. I think it would be great. I mean, Rusev is slowly climbing that ladder as much as people hate it, and they're tired of seeing him beat the Big Show and the Mark Henry and the, you know, not finishing the Jack Swagger angle. You know, Ryback's in a position where he could be a top guy right now. To have him come back and pick up that momentum that he had a year ago before they just earmuffs, shit the bed. You know, it's great. Throw him in a program with Rusev. It might not be the prettiest thing, but if he could be the guy that beats Rusev.
He's not.
They're feeding Rusev to Cena. They're eventually going to feed Rusev to Cena, yeah. It's going to come the night after WrestleMania after Cena wins the title back.
I hope you're wrong.
So do I.
I hope you're wrong. But it's not going to be Ryback. I mean, Ryback's not going to be the guy that beats Rusev.
And can I just interject? Does Cena really need to earn another title match, like having to beat Randy Orton to get the title? Does he really? Does it even make sense anymore?
Hey, man, they're power rankings, dude. All right?
Yeah, but Cena gets title shots just for waking up in the morning.
I mean,
I think you're thinking too much into it.
It's just bothersome.
There's not like they don't have that like. Pecking order when a big feud is done and they do the blow off, like there's not somebody set up to go again.
Agreed.
So it's just they just keep recycling it. So it's you know, oh, Cena and R-Truth. Oh, this sucks. Cena and The Miz. It's not doing it. Cena, Punk. Okay. Cena, Punk again. Cena, Punk, ADR. Punk, ADR, Big Show. Punk and Cena. Punk and Cena.
I agree.
They just keep recycling it. Cena. The Rock. Cena.
I mean, God forbid you have guys like Dean Ambrose on the card who should easily be in the main event.
Well, you want to talk about the main event, or do we have anything else to cover with Hell in a Cell?
Let's talk about the main event.
Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. The beginning of that match was probably one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
You know what, though? The fall was way too contrived. He knocks Seth Rollins off, and then he just decides to fall, too.
I agree that it didn't look the best.
It looked horrific,
dude. You could play off the fact that he used a headbutt, so maybe he was like, whoa.
He didn't play it off that way. He just let go with both hands.
And those falls, when they're on the side of the cage, are so they don't look the best because they're always looking back to make sure that they're going to land perfectly on the table.
I would have liked it better if the two of them just grabbed each other, slammed each other at the same time, and did the double knockout fall. To me, as contrived as that would have been, that would have made the most sense.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the technical aspects of how that would have what they would have had to done to make that work.
It just didn't look right.
No, you're right, it didn't. But if that's the easiest way, they can both probably do the bump safely.
Yeah.
Then
you know, when they start on top of the cage, you're not getting.
I understand, but don't dangle that carrot in front of us and then have an awful payoff.
Well, you want
Did anyone else think that we could possibly get another Foley moment where someone actually got thrown off the top?
You know what?
Especially because of Foley's involvement the week before.
Well, Foley's been involved with a lot lately anyway. But yes, irrespective of that, yeah, of course.
I thought, I'm like, there's no way they're going to actually give us another Foley-type bump, are they?
I didn't think so. I think after you hear all the stories where Foley goes back and he tells the story and how Vince is like, don't ever do anything like that again. And now, you know, every Hell in the Cell, it's like, when's the big moment going to come? Especially after that King of the Ring. And even going forward, there was some Brock Lesnar, Undertaker stuff, and Triple H and Chris Jericho stuff.
And but, Rikishi falling on the bale of hay on the truck.
The bays of hail.
Bays of hail.
But I think going into it, I think it's very clear and cut. You know, if you start on top of the cage, you know, your bump's going to take place here. No exceptions. Especially where they are right now. And they're trying to elevate some of these guys and put them in a spot where they're at the top. You can't afford to have, like, if Ambrose gets thrown off the top of that cage.
No, I know. I just
wastes the whole shitty thing coming up from the ring. And the guy from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers showing up.
You saw that?
No.
Oh, so there's like a meme floating around.
Was there really?
With the Power Ranger guy as Sister Abigail.
That was Sister Abigail.
Had to have been Sister Abigail. I thought I saw like a silhouette of like a dress or something like that.
I like the new Stooges,
Mercury
and Noble.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all right. Just like they're still like they have like the earbuds in like their security when like everyone like Stephanie McMahon towers over them.
I still think that's why it's funny.
I agree. It's funny. I mean, they get whenever Seth Rollins wants to go on a roller coaster, they get to have their lunch break because they can't ride it because they're too short. But I thought that the possibility in my head of Dean Ambrose probably going completely psycho or doing something where one of them did something completely outrageous and added an element of suspense where we're like, all right, when's it going to happen? There's got to be a bump coming here somewhere that'll be off the charts. Instead, we get the...
It would have made more sense if Rollins fell and Ambrose took a few seconds to compose himself, looked behind him, and then tried to like climb over and dive on him. But then he misses. Rollins moves out of the way, so they both take like crazy bumps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
something different.
No, you're and right. It didn't look the best. You're 100% right. But I think there's circumstances that it was the safest way to do it.
And if it was some ridiculous throw off the cage thing, it would have been total, you know, bullshit.
Padded. Everything.
The peanuts flying all in the air or a big pad or something goofy.
Big pad.
But, I mean, it didn't take away from the match.
I'll tell you what did take away from the match. That ending for that that's the only reason why that match main evented. Because if they put that on in the middle of the show, the people would have turned on that show for the rest of the time and nobody would have gotten anything over.
You don't think Cena Orton with the match they had could have
gotten back?
I think
they would have had their work cut out for them if they had to follow that pile. That was awful, dude. It just went on forever. And
what's
like
that, the match?
The ending.
No, just the whole Bray Wyatt.
Oh. And it was like, the chanting went on forever. The attack, and like, what's the history? The only history I could fathom is that there was the Wyatts and the Shield going at it in six-man matches.
Yeah, it was the match itself was awesome. I really enjoyed the match.
No, yeah, it was fine.
Up until that moment. There's no... And I put this on Facebook, and a lot of people argue with me, and they let it play out. There's no blow-off. Like, this isn't... And I don't think there's going to be a blow-off.
Not anytime soon.
Because you've already put Rollins in this Team Authority, Team Cena thing. Yeah, maybe Ambrose is part of Team Cena, but then does that mean Wyatt is part of the Authority?
No,
it's
not likely to happen.
It's
going to
be Ambrose Wyatt.
At Survivor
be out of the
Series
picture.
Already. Yeah, 100% agree.
Like, I just... And the whole idea, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Hell in the Cell is designed to keep people out.
Yeah.
Out. Like, Kane coming down and ripping the door off during the first Hell in the Cell makes sense. Wyatt, the lights going out and him being there, like,
There was real build to that Kane debut. Real true build for months.
The door at the cage wasn't open at this point, was it?
No, it was locked.
Okay. Just wanted to make double check on that. But I agree. I thought, and a lot of people are like, let it play out. They're not done yet.
And it was just ridiculous with the ghosts and the holograms and stuff.
Well, WWE has a history of doing stuff.
I know, but
like
I was waiting for like, be not afraid, for the spirit of the Undertaker lives in all of us.
Well, do you remember, and I think it was Royal Rumble 93
or
94.
That was it. That's what I was doing.
Oh, yeah. And so like,
I will not rest in peace.
So it's not like
and
it's
the first
time.
And then Marty Jannetty comes up from the ring.
Yeah. It's not like this is the first time they've done something completely. We were kids. Like, I was a kid then, so adults were probably just like, what the? Like this is insulting.
It
my
was ridiculous.
So,
it took 10 men to put him in the casket.
Yes. It really. The ending really, like, I was like, what the fuck?
And now they did a follow up on Raw. I didn't hear Bray Wyatt's promo, though. Did.
I didn't. Really
something
see that
like
wrong.
You're one of us or we're one of you. It was something like he was supposed to fight Cesaro and then they brawled and then he comes out and he does his promo, which was good.
Well, that's what I'm asking. The basis of the promo was he trying to recruit Dean Ambrose?
He said you're one of us and you'll come with us, something like that. I could, if you give me a minute. And
yeah, no, it's
filler,
fine. I agree with
I
you.
I can find the exact
listen,
words.
I'm not one of the people that actually completely hated it because whatever, you're setting up two new storylines, but you're doing it at the expense of one of the hottest feuds that you ever had and gave the fans no conclusion yet to that storyline, which, like we've been saying on the show before, could have realistically gone to WrestleMania. So...
Okay, here it is. Bray appears on the TitanTron and says, "This world isn't made for them, and he's not Ambrose's friend, but he says he will help him, then tells him to run."
Why?
That was it. That was the promo.
Did Ambrose run?
No, they went to a commercial.
No. Did he run on the WWE app?
That's a good question.
Did anyone see Ambrose run on social media? Because I need to know this. Yeah, but again, I don't...
Now, don't get me wrong. I think Wyatt Ambrose is going to be awesome. Just the promos alone.
And it should happen, but again, not at the expense of a feud that people have invested in for months and months and months.
Like,
and you're getting nothing yet. Like I said, I'm going to preface yet. They'll have to go back to it at some point.
Well, what hurts with Ambrose just beating Rollins clean Sunday night, and then Monday, instead of it being Rollins saying, "I won," and Orton lost, they can both go in the ring and say, you know, they could cut a promo and be like, "Well, I lost, and you lost," and or whatever. They could play the blame game on it. "I lost because you weren't there. I lost because you weren't there."
Wait, who, what? Talking about Orton?
Orton and Rollins.
Okay, Orton and Rollins.
Like,
all right.
Because Raw, they have the thing
they
where...
They both lose, and they blame each other for
right.
both of their
then,
losses.
And then... Ambrose Cesaro happens, and Wyatt shows up, the lights go out, and Wyatt's there. Like, why do you have to impact the end of the Hell in a Cell match?
No, I agree, especially on a pay-per-view, like you said, is designed to settle scores. That's what... The things get so bad that they have to fight in the Hell in a Cell.
Right.
And then just to have nothing done with that is not only, in my opinion, and again, I'm just a guy on a couch in a studio talking, so maybe there are tons more people that know more about this than I do. It's lazy booking. it rips off your fans for not necessarily monetarily because the network is what it is, but it rips off your fans who have invested emotionally in the best feud that WWE had, which was Ambrose Rollins. And it completely rips them off, in my opinion. And listen, I'm all for starting new programs, but this, I don't think personally this was the way to do it. And again, if you're providing criticism, well, then bring something to the table otherwise, which you did in terms of how they could play it off the next night on Raw. I don't know how I could have done it to make them both keep the momentum that they have. So I can't really, it's not fair for me to criticize it without bringing something else to the table.
Right.
But I just don't think it was the right move. And I don't know. Have you trolled internet, Twitter, or people
not
bitching
really.
About
I mean,
it?
People like hated it. The ending of the Hell in the Cell.
Okay.
Like just that, the match, like the, like people hated that Cena won. I didn't really see many people talking bad about the match. People also hated the smoke from the ring. People hated the way Raw ended last night with all these guys coming down to the ring.
I love those things, though. And we'll get into that later, Raw, right? We'll go back into Raw.
Yeah, we can. I mean, we can finish up Raw now, or we can go back later. We have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Nothing to write home about with Raw. Fucking Henry and Big Show break up, which, I mean, I don't, I can't.
It was so... And when Mark Henry turns heel, everyone knows about it like 3 weeks ahead of time because it's so he starts smiling a lot more than he was before. He's like six, like the Hall of Pain is like Six Flags Great Adventure. It's open for like 4 months out of the year, and then he becomes a good guy again. It is what it is. I don't know how many people are going to care about Mark Henry versus Big Show in 2014. It's been a little while longer than Big Show has been a heel, so I would have rather seen the turn go the other way. You know, he was under the authorities higher, I guess. He was like their bitch for a while. So that was really the last time he was a heel, so I would have rather seen the turn go the other way.
Oh, Big Show when he was crying?
Yeah. At this point, I would have just left them as a team and have them feud with other teams and have them put over.
Or how about you bring up, like, the Ascension?
And have them and beat the shit out of the two big dudes.
Why not make a statement? Orton RKOing Rollins at the beginning of Raw was awesome, too.
I think I missed that. I saw the entire segment, but I think I actually missed the RKO.
He just, like, nonchalantly just walked over and hit it, like, out of nowhere. It was fucking sweet.
No, I thought he fought through the group, and then he just grabbed them.
No, I think he was... Wasn't he on the outside?
They were arguing back and forth, and then they were separated, and then he kind of just walked over, like he was going to, like, shake hands, and then just hit him. And fucking Triple H was so angry. So that happened.
Nikki Bella beat somebody because Brie helped her win.
Who cares?
I do.
Woohoo! What else happened? Ziggler beat Kane.
Which I thought was a good match. Ziggler had the moves like Jagger at the end of that thing.
And then Kane beats him up afterwards.
Of course he does. He's a sore loser.
Ambrose Cesaro we talked about. I'm tired of the fucking Hulk Hogan coming out shilling the Susan G. Coleman stuff.
You know something, brother.
He should be shilling Kick Cancer.
Breast cancer is an awful thing, dude.
I just feel like they're wasting Hulk Hogan.
You know something, Mean Gene.
What honestly are you going to do with Hulk Hogan at this point other than be an ambassador for your company?
I love tits, brother.
There you go, brother.
And it sucks when they get cancer, dude. So here's what I'm saying to you, Hulkamaniacs.
All right.
I can keep going.
God, that's what I said, all right. I'm waiting. I'm a Hulkamaniac.
Oh, brother.
Now I lost my train of thought.
There you go.
Oh, no, I lost it.
I have no problem with Hogan doing that. I mean,
it's better than what he was doing on TNA.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Hey, I'm going to wrestle Sting, dude, but I'm not going to take one bump, brother.
All of a sudden, like, yeah, his hip hurts him then, but then he was talking about a comeback. Not too far.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about TNA yet.
Yeah, TNA was on Wednesday. You had the greatest line, though, when Eddie was like, anyone watch TNA Thursday? And you're like, no, because it was on Wednesday.
I still didn't watch it.
I haven't watched it either. I think tonight was actually going to be, or tomorrow night is going to be Lashley against
Bobby Roode.
Yes, Bobby Roode. That's right.
But we can, I mean, Matt watched, I'm sure Matt watched TNA last week. So,
well, we'll talk about TNA later.
Later. So,
I guess this will be a good time to take a break.
Yeah, did you guys talk Cena Rollins to end Raw, or you want to do that afterwards?
Well,
come back to that. I want to have a little buffer for before
buffer.
Mr. Stevie Ray calls in.
That's right. When we come back, we'll be talking to one half of the 10-time Slapjackin' Fruit Booty King, Stevie Ray. So
he held that title 10 times.
10-time Slapjackin' Booty Stealing.
Wow, I thought he only held that belt 3 times.
No,
great,
no.
Good.
He's
for
fucking
him.
Former leader of the NWO Black and White.
That's right.
That's true. With Vincent and Brian Adams.
Oh man, this is gonna be awesome.
I can't wait.
Didn't they name Vincent Curly G Cradle Rock?
Something.
He was in the Rednecks.
Yeah, I think we went over this like.
Yes, we did.
One something.
Well, while we waste time going over that, here's a little break for you. When we come back, Mr. Stevie Ray.
Woo.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, it's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My 5 Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Vinyl Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net, or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, The Mega Powers Radio Podcast,
and the flagship, Geeks of the Industry. Go to geeksoftheindustry.com now.
This is Justin from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your home for pop culture news, pro wrestling, geek culture, top 10 lists, and fan castings. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher, proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
That was some interview with Stevie Ray there, huh?
Oh, no, we had Booker T on, I thought.
You know, I almost said Booker T.
I know you did. That's why.
All right, well, then we need to
delete
this.
Well, it doesn't matter. We didn't have either one of them, so. Thank you.
Johnny Gargano's Hurts Donuts shirt.
Are you recording?
Well, now I am, sure.
Just came out of break like that?
No, I'm going to splice this in, bro. It's going to be seamless. It's going to be seamless.
Seamless?
Hey, you know what we could do while we're waiting? You guys want to take some, listen to some Skype calls?
I guess so.
Might as well, right?
Are these the voicemails?
These are the voicemails that we receive from you, the loyal fans of the Shining Wizards. We've got a few doozies, but I think, honestly, if I have to say, I think they might be falling off a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you guys judge for yourselves.
All right.
Well, I saw your post on social media, and I thought I'd go ahead and give you guys a phone call. You asked for my opinion on Impact. Well, when it's coming out of Impact, you want to get the most bang for your buck. You know, I mean, obviously they got a lot of problems as far as Impact goes. For me, a 44 Magnum, that's too much Impact. You know what I mean? So you want maybe like a 38 special, maybe a 357 that fires 38 special rounds, like the reloads.
These?
That way you get cheaper
sure.
ammo.
If you have something to say.
Defense, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's just revolvers. I like revolvers because they never jam. But personally, I have a Walther PK380 at my house that I used to shoot at neighborhood children for playing on my lawn. And I've just found that the low impact, also the low ammunition grade, it creates the effect I'm looking for where the children are legitimately terrified,
like
but
Alabama.
Never actually in any extreme danger. So anyway, thank you all for right. letting me voice my opinion on Impact, you guys. It's been great.
Take notes.
You're welcome.
Take
sir.
Notes.
All right, let me just stop it for a second. What are we doing on this show that we get crackpots like this calling about shooting guns and children and stuff?
I mean, you throw anything up on the Facebook and you never know what's going to happen.
It's... I don't know. It just creeps me out.
Well, I'm happy that...
It didn't seem that outlandish that he shoots children on his lawn to scare them.
And he tried to tie it into wrestling with Impact, so I mean...
I just think people are missing the boat. Let's go to the next call.
Hey, everybody. It's Shining Wizards. I'm just calling right now because I wanted to let you know that I'm at a bar.
Oh, even better.
From Williamstown, by the way. Hi, Matt. Frank,
oh, one of your friends.
Frank says hi.
Hello. Hi, Frank.
Yeah. We just want to let you know we're at a bar, and fuck you guys.
Great, thank you.
All right, bye.
Thanks for the support.
That's a good, I like that call.
Hey, fuck hard. Oh. It's Rob again.
Oh, again?
I just want to let you know I'm still at the bar. Me and Frank still at the bar.
Still?
Big surprise.
Drinking. Yeah, we're at the bar.
Yeah,
drinking.
Rock on.
Yeah, I'm being a little bit of a bitch.
Yeah, bitches.
I admit it. Being a little bit of a bitch. But yes. A lot, yeah, a lot.
He's got a tendency to just
give
a bit of diarrhea.
My stance. Fuck you guys.
Oh.
But no, seriously, I love all you guys. And
come on.
Pick
well,
a side.
Mind, dude.
Like pick a fucking
yeah,
side.
I know, at a bar,
it's like a
like,
drunk guy.
Oh, hey, I have a question.
Know.
Are you at a bar?
It's completely, I agree with Frank here. It's completely normal. Yeah, it's completely normal.
All right, let's go, Rob. Wrap it up.
Yeah, so, yeah, Matt. Why don't we show back up down here in the shop there?
For CZW?
Yeah, down here. Yeah,
oh,
little,
down where?
Is this true?
Or whatever? I don't even know. I'm drinking,
no.
So.
This is Rob, the
yeah,
drunk.
I'm going to hang up now before I say something even dumber.
Oh, really?
Done.
But I think, you know, I think I've already done that. So,
good job.
Shoelace, you know. So
all
anyway.
Right. Shoelace?
Go fuck yourselves. And,
same to you, pal.
Yeah, good night. And go fuck yourselves. Bye.
I like
bye,
the, like, real short, like, go fuck yourselves. Those
on,
are funny.
Guys. Tag host under the Matt Radio. I wanted to leave my support in my grave for Hell in a Cell. My grave for Hell in a Cell.
His grave?
Had to be about a C+. All right, guys.
Oh.
Have a great show. Bye.
But
that
why,
was it?
Why did you give it a C+,
I
sir?
I saw you, Jim, posted on social media. You
what
wanted,
is this?
Us to call up and give our opinions
fucking
on
fucking Art Perot?
Ross Perot? Was it HIAC? I'm not sure. I think it was HUAC. And if it
another
was
redneck.
HUAC,
great.
The House of Un-American Activities,
it's got to be the same guy.
I do have strong opinions on that. I believe that Senator McCarthy was actually a hero. I mean, let's face facts. He did
He's talking about the Red Scare?
The Charlie McCarthy hearings?
For the Communist Party.
I think it was Joe McCarthy, wasn't it?
Wasn't she a witch?
We couldn't control this.
Charlie McCarthy?
Jenny McCarthy?
The Red Scare, and McCarthy was able to stand up
what the
and have actual...
Paul McCarthy?
Why did you put this in the fucking mix?
I'm telling you, this it was a lean week. I had to do something.
Is this a Rusev promo?
In Hollywood. Now, that's not important to me. Oh, shit, you got me in Hell in a Cell. Oh, shit.
Wrestling
Oh, shit. Okay. I thought the Bellas had the best match of the night. Anyway, here you go. Kill myself in my garage. I love you guys.
There you
go. The garage guy.
Fan of the Bellas.
All right.
He's killing his kids. He shoots at neighborhood kids, and he liked the Bellas match.
You think that was the same guy?
Do you think it's not?
I don't know.
I mean, I understand there's probably a billion people in, like, the Midwest that sound just like this idiot, but... This guy's got an M.O. with wanting to kill kids, so I would assume
and himself.
Him.
What are you going to do? I like the voicemails. I'd like it if people kept calling. Try and keep it a little shorter, though. Like, the first one that Rob called and he said, you know, go fuck yourselves. Funny. That's it. He was
and the
good
guy
right
that called
there.
And said, I hate Eddie.
There you go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yes.
You know, it's also exciting when we get celebrities to call. I know Joni has been calling for Kevin quite a bit. We had the Undertaker call, which was
Mark
cool.
Calloway.
Bret Hart, awesome.
Who can't cut a promo still, but, you know, he did have a stroke.
If you listen back to this and you want to call and leave a voicemail, the phone lines are always open. 201-467-8949.
201-467-8-WIZ.
It seems like maybe there was a scheduling conflict with Stevie Ray. I sent an email out to the guy who set this up for us, and I'm waiting to hear back from him, which is why you didn't hear a Stevie Ray interview yet. But whatever, we'll go forward.
Okay, before we get into Raw, can we do news bites? You want? We'll do something.
Well, we went into Raw. We were all up in Raw's taint.
We're finishing Raw.
Yeah, we got just the main event, pretty
Listen
much.
Listen to me not paying attention as usual.
Well, the wife came home and you had to go upstairs and do the thing.
I'm excited, bro. Things might be changing in this house soon.
Oh, good.
Are you moving?
Are you murdering?
Maybe both.
Ah.
Maybe neither.
Oh, okay.
Stick around and find out.
So, main event of Raw.
So it's fuck moving kill.
Ooh. We should do an FMK tonight for old time's sake.
Okay. All right.
We'll think of it later. Kevin doesn't like FMK.
We could find, like, midget wrestlers. Women? Midgets?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
You know what I started watching? Lipstick and Dynamite. The women's wrestling documentary.
Uh-huh.
Because I got that free Amazon Prime shit.
Okay.
I only got about 10 minutes in, though.
Oh.
Great story.
Mae Young was quite a looker when she was younger.
Yuck.
They were still both alive, so...
In what, 1998? Tony, you sick fuck?
I wish I had her music. I would play it now.
That,
ding, 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 ding.
All right, anyway, Dingles. Cena Rollins to close out Raw. Another great match.
Cool.
Now what?
I know, maybe it's not compliments of John Cena. But, I mean, two nights in a row, good matches. Credit where credit's due. Orton and Rollins, both great competitors in the ring. But it takes two to tango.
Cena can go. Cena just needs to go away a little bit once in a while.
Go away, John. Go away.
Just for a little bit. Take a walk. Seriously, take a month's vacation. You've earned it. You're a 15-time world champion.
Maybe 16.
Oh, God.
So they have a great match, but then Kane decides he's going to interrupt and cause a disqualification. Which sends out one Dolph Ziggler, which sends
just
out...
Just one Dolph Ziggler.
Which sends out, after that, the whole rest of the locker room.
Do, 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 do.
For a huge Donnybrook, which the IWC, they were not happy with that.
I love Donnybrooks.
A boo.
I don't mind.
I miss
I would name
Donnybrooks.
My kid Donnybrooks, even though my last name is Garifo.
Donnybrooks Garifo.
There it is.
Done. I
there's,
like
there's
it.
My son.
It should be your comedy name.
Donnybrooks.
Donnybrooks Garifo?
Yes.
No, just Donnybrooks.
Or like your alter ego? All
right.
Yes, and you could do a lot of racist humor.
I don't do racist humor.
Yeah, Kevin Garifo does.
Kevin.
Oh, but Donnybrooks.
Donnybrooks may.
Winner, winner.
Donnybrooks could do it.
Oh, my goodness. There was a Zack Ryder sighting and a Heath Slater sighting.
In the Donnybrook?
Yeah. And both of them took some moves from one John Cena.
Wait, Cena got to Ryder?
Yeah.
That
son of a bitch. Throwing bombs.
I saw them manhandle Slater. Wow. I didn't know that he got into. That's messed up.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Dude, so.
They were BFFs.
So, I mean, they said.
Big butt fuckers.
There's a lot of speculation that this Survivor Series will be a traditional Survivor Series. Don't know if that means that they're going to be all 5-on-5 matches.
Nope, it's just going to be the main event.
You think so?
Yeah, they might throw in a bitch match just to because there's 10 of them.
I also wouldn't be shocked if we get an NXT one.
It'll be like Team Paige versus Team AJ. NXT one would be
that's
awesome.
A perfect place to. That's a perfect showcase.
Showcase those guys. Even if it's a pre-show, who cares? Something to get them in front of the crowd they become familiar.
I'd be happy if they did a NXT Survivor. Even though I don't haven't really watched the show in a little while, but all those guys deserve to be. It's like almost like NXT is almost like a third brand now instead of a developmental, even though they just signed a lot of guys or brought in a lot of people that have no wrestling experience whatsoever.
Like the Hooters girl.
The Hooters
girl. We'll get into that. We'll get into News Bites when we finish up Raw. Unless anyone wants to talk Impact.
I watched it. They're doing the tag tourney. For the number one contenders.
Tourney.
Tag title tourney.
So who are the champs right now?
Who the fuck knows?
Wolves are still the champs.
Wolves are still the tag champs. This is a TNA tag title tournament. I will give you a quick rundown. I didn't think there was anything spectacular about the show. Gunnar turned on Samuel Shaw. Or no, I'm sorry. Sam Shaw turned on Gunnar. Sam Shaw was swapping spit with Brittany. I don't know if you're into that stuff. Hardy Boys beat the Bromans. Loki and Samoa Joe beat Gunnar and Sam Shaw. Apparently, Bram has deemed himself Captain Hardcore, as he says he beat Abyss, and then he beat Devon. So, I mean, that was exciting.
So, are they gonna keep feeding him more ECW guys now?
I don't know.
Are there any left?
No, who knows? Sure, you could Tommy Dreamer, Rhino. I don't know.
So now, are these still tapings that have happened? How many more episodes?
I think they still are taped. I don't think they have anything left for like November.
So like, when do the last run of tapings end on TV before they have to start taping more?
I think it might be next week.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think. Because there was talk like if they have no programming for the rest of the year, they might space out the live programming more, like the taped stuff more, and just pepper in some other things, like to stretch them out for 2 hours.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? They're kind of in limbo until they make an announcement about their future.
Well, they just re-signed Kurt Angle
to a partial.
Jesus Christ, sorry.
According to I have the article up, so I'll just read it. Mike Johnson reports.
Any relation to Mike Hunt?
A new part-time deal with TNA that will allow him to split time between pro wrestling and pursuing acting work.
What's he going to pretend to drive drunk?
I believe the announcement that Angle has signed a new deal is what Dixie Carter has been teasing on Twitter as of late.
I signed a deal, sugar!
Of her big announcement. And again, it goes into how WWE wanted Kurt Angle to work full-time. Kurt Angle was not committed to do that.
Kurt, look at me when I'm talking to you. I'm trying.
Why wouldn't WWE want Kurt Angle at all?
Did you notice Rhino was smitten with her? He was like, oh, she's an attractive lady.
Oh, you and him could get together and
have a circle jerk?
Donnybrook.
Talk about it.
Who eats the cracker?
All right, let me finish this.
You'd give it to her, right?
TNA bull. I'd give it to her, but I'm not like, I don't have a heart on for her like
fuck
you.
Fucking riding a pussy.
MVP and Kenny King defeated Chris Melendez and Mr. Anderson. And then blah, blah, blah.
Wait, Mr. Anderson's still around?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then EC3 and Tyrus, they beat
Brodus Clay, for those who don't know.
That's right.
They beat Rockstar Spud and Rockstars. Eric Young.
Is that the new disease, Rockstars?
Yeah, I got it. It's in my throat. And then
the name of the episode.
That's not where I thought that Rockstars would develop.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised where this mouth has been.
Gross.
And then there's a Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, Bobby Lashley, meeting in the ring. And
you said meet.
Bobby Roode, he wants his match against Lashley. Lashley's going to sign the contract. MVP says, no, no, no. And then Bobby Lashley says, MVP's fuck your couch, nigga. And he signs it anyway.
Whoa.
And then
Kurt Angle announces himself as the referee for the match, so there will be no shenanigans. And Bobby Lashley, just because you beat someone's ass at MMA last weekend, means you're still a pussy because you still haven't accepted my challenge.
There you go.
Yeah,
now that's, now that's entertainment.
So, listen, you bald-headed prick. Shining Wizards Matt, I'm going to throw names out. I'm going to shit talk.
We coming for you, nigga!
Maybe you don't like the shit talking. It's going down, buddy. I want you 90 seconds in a cage. I can run away from you.
Run away.
All right, fight Lashley fight or whatever the fuck your Twitter handle is. Bring. I'm going to tweet it again later. I'm going to call you out because next week, spoiler alert, TNA fag boys, Bobby Lashley, you lose the title to Bobby Roode. So now you don't have dick to do. You're going to sit around. You're going to hold those giant black balls in your hand. You're not going to have anything to do. So gear up, son.
Jesus.
Gear up. Wax that shiny fucking head. Pick out your favorite Bobby Lashley tank top. Come on down to New Jersey. We'll pick a nice venue. We'll do it at Rawway. We'll do it at PWS. Put me in the ring. I'll run around for 90 seconds. You can't get me.
You can't get me.
You can't see me, son. You ain't got nothing on me, Bobby Lashley.
Dude, if you can get this done, I think I may have to take on Drew Gulak in the undercard.
I'm telling you, I'd have to wear a headpiece though, because he'll fucking knock my head off.
No, it's just a matter of catching you.
Wait, I thought he couldn't catch you.
He can't catch me.
He's gonna catch you and make you tap.
I bet you he's got a long reach.
I bet
you
can't
be an MMA fighter without a long reach. Oh. Fucking knock my head off.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, he needs to respond. He can't keep ducking me.
I just want to point out the fact
that
my two co-hosts tonight were both free with their language usage. But when I dropped a bomb a couple of weeks ago, Eddie and Kevin were ready to crucify me.
Which one was that?
Later.
I turned off. I did it in
context?
Yeah, and it wasn't...
I did it as a sign-off.
Fuck. I was just mimicking the Dave Chappelle show. Our friend here, he's going to reach out to Mr. Stevie Ray. Hopefully we get him to call in.
But whatever.
But going back to this TNA thing, more specifically Kurt Angle.
Yes, he's drunk.
Kurt Angle's deal expired in late September, and there was communication with WWE, which was only interested in him if he was willing to commit to a full-time schedule. Why wouldn't you commit to him to a part-time schedule when you've done that for so many other people?
Because they probably figure Kurt Angle's got life in the ring.
He's in his 40s. How could they possibly think that he would want to come back full-time?
They should just bring back Ken Shamrock and get it over with.
Maybe they're trying to get away from the part-time contracts.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, who's on him right now? Just Brock Lesnar, Rob Van Dam?
Well, Rob Van Dam's done.
Well, he's done, but they have an understanding where he'll come back every so often for a 90-day period. But
maybe they don't see Van Dam as big of a star as Kurt Angle is.
So then if you consider Kurt Angle a bigger star, why would you rather not have him at all than have him on a limited basis?
It doesn't make sense. You know why, Kevin? Because WWE. That's all there is to it. What are you dinging over there?
Because
Stevie Ray will be calling in a minute.
Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Stevie Ray.
Joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's a 10-time WCW World Tag Team Champion, one half of Harlem Heat. And ironically enough, he's joining us on Slapjack Tuesday, the one and only Stevie Ray.
Woo!
What's going on, guys?
You like that smattering of an applause?
I think he likes the stuttering of the
applause. I've heard a couple of flowers touch each other.
So I gotta ask Stevie. I'm not big on the hashtags and the Twitter. So what is Slapjack Tuesday?
Slapjack Tuesday is something that that I came up with to whether it be sports world, whether it be entertainment, pop culture, whatever. If somebody's out there doing something that I don't like, then as far as I'm concerned, they should be slapjacked on Tuesday afternoons.
So you're throwing a lot of slapjacks towards the New York Jets.
Yeah, I kind of got on the Jets and don't know how to get off.
I could think of a couple ways to get off the Jets.
I'm sorry, man. I mean, I went through this a couple of weeks ago on another podcast interview that I was doing, and they just irked me, man. They irked me to the point where, you know, I was growing up, I used to be a Jets fan as a kid, man, and now they turn my stomach, man. They just do.
So, listen, this is Kevin. I'm a lifelong Jet fan, former season ticket holder. So, are you saying that you've jumped ship and you're off green?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Jets fan. I've always been a lot of different teams fans, you know what I'm saying? And the Jets was one of them because of, you know, Joe Namath and the whole big thing. And, you know, they had the nice green uniforms and stuff. They represented the AFC. I mean, the AFL, actually, right. You know. And then all of a sudden, I'm sorry, man. The Jets haven't had a decent quarterback since Richard Todd.
That's very accurate. Do you think Joe Namath could have made it in pro wrestling?
No.
No.
No, man. His knees were too bad, man. Did you see his legs?
You don't think he could have been a good on screen persona?
No, not at all.
Oh wow! I thought with those fur coats, I thought he'd be. Oh,
man, come on, man. I mean, come on. Those fur coats were doing for the sidelines only.
Wait, you think Richard Todd was better than Ken O'Brien?
I think no, not as a pure passer, but Richard Todd had something. I think he was a pretty good leader for the New York Jets. Just a real good leader, and you know he was coming in an era where things were starting to change. And I always liked Richard Todd.
Fair enough. I like it, man. So, are you an avid sports fan? Obviously,
I'm an everything fan, man. I mean, I pay attention to a lot of things. Sports happen to be one of them. I am a big sports fan, always have been, and that's why it's so easy for me to
slapjack
sports people. You know, because I don't just look at sports. I mean, or just watch sports. I actually pay attention to everything that's going on if I'm interested in that sport. To see what makes that sport tick, what makes it go, why things are happening the way they're happening, so I can get a better judgment of what I'm looking at. And I always have been like that when it comes to sports, even professional wrestling. I always looked at what was going on, you know, behind the scenes. I always wonder stuff. Why did they do this? Or why did they go this direction? This was way before I ever got in the game, even when I was a kid, you know. So I'm just an inquisitive person when it comes to things like that.
Well, people out there, they might want to know what's going on with Stevie Ray, and you're joining us tonight because this Friday night, right here in Rahway, New Jersey, Harlem Heat reunites Pro Wrestling Syndicate. How excited are you to get back in the ring with your brother?
I'm not very excited.
Spoken like a true family member. That's awesome.
I'm not very excited to get back in the ring or anything like that. I'm still, you know, working out again and all this kind of stuff. I mean, come on. I had it good for the last few years. Just, you know, just kicking back and having knocking down a few. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
But, you know, because, you know, when I'm committed to something, I'm committed to it, though. But in all actuality, I mean, it's good, man. It's good, and it's a good feeling. And you know, I've been getting the juices again for the last couple of years. And in all actuality, I am excited, you know, to be honest. I am excited. And it's been a long time coming, to be honest.
When was the last time you were up in the Northeast?
A few years ago.
All right.
It was 3-4 years ago, something like that. I came up to do an appearance, and I brought my daughter with me. My daughter's a junior in college now. She was in high school then. So it had to be a few years ago, about 3-4 years ago, something like that. Yeah. On business that I remember, yeah.
All right.
And I was up for the Hall of Fame, you remember?
Yeah.
What was that, last year?
Was it last
year? Yeah, last year. I was up there for the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
The WCW Hall of Fame.
There you go. Now, we talk Slapjack Tuesdays. Let's talk about Fruit Booties. Give me the background, because I love it. We had a little exchange on Twitter last week, and you said first you were going to hit us with the Slapjack, because if we asked any stupid questions. And I was like, well, I got to get hit with the Slapjack. And then you threw the Fruit Booties, and I was like, I have been calling people Fruit Booties all week.
Oh, really?
Oh, hell yeah. Gimmick infringement to the max.
So we have to ask.
Hey, Fruit Booty is a universal term. It's just not mine. Anybody can use it, as far as I'm concerned. I may have came up with it, but anybody can use it, you know, because if somebody's a knucklehead, you know, hey, just call them what they are, a fruit booty, a fucking fruit booty, you know? Get your shit together, you know?
So,
and, hey, I'm riding down the street sometimes to this day, and people will pull up beside me and go, hey, fruit booty, you know? And I'm like, okay, let me let my windows up. I don't want to be, you know, that term must have, it must have cemented itself in people's minds back in the day, so people still mess with me about it.
Was it designated towards anyone specifically at first when they came up with it, or where did it come from? What was the origin of it?
Actually, me and a friend of mine, this is, I don't know, early 90s, one of his friends actually said it to me and a buddy of mine, you know what I'm saying? And we just thought it was so funny. We hadn't actually heard anybody ever say that before. So we would start calling each other a fruit booty, me and a buddy of mine. So then the next thing you know, I'm saying it on television. So that's where the whole thing stems from. That's what the whole thing stems from. And I can't even remember the guy that said it. We just kind of heard it kind of out the side of a guy's mouth, and then, you know, we were kind of ran with it.
Now, you have your fruit booties, you have your slapjacks. Long time ago, though, I can recall coming home, being a little guy, putting on ESPN after school, Global Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
We've had a couple guys on, Marcus Bagwell, who were involved. Were you part of that core group where you were pretty much promised the world, and you kind of put all your eggs in that GWF basket?
I don't exactly know what you mean.
Well, Bagwell, he had spoken that he said he was promised a $1 million contract, and he was going to get this and that and the TV exposure. Anything like that happen with you guys when you signed with GWF?
As what? The handsome stranger? Was somebody actually going to give a guy that wore a mask a $1 million contract and he actually believed it? Really? Okay, no. To be honest, no, I'll answer that question. No, we were never promised anything like that because when we were brought in, in all actuality, let me tell you how the whole thing went for me and my brother. I was going down for a tryout, and I asked my brother to come with me. And he came with me. He rode down with me because apparently they had seen me in the old independent magazines and stuff like that, and they knew I was in the South Texas area, in the Houston area. So they asked one of the guys that was working there, did he know me? And he said, yes. And he said, well, hey, get in contact with that guy. We want him to come up for a trial. But the guy never told them that I had a brother that wrestled also. Me and my brother, we weren't a tag team or anything like that. We were just working. He worked shows. I worked shows. Sometimes we worked shows together. Sometimes we worked shows against each other, so on and so forth. We're just trying to get our feet wet in the business. And we go down for a tryout, and the booker was Eddie Gilbert. Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. You remember him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert was like, we come into his office after they had taped the show, and he was like, hey, man, who's that? I said, that's my brother. And he goes, does he work? And I go, yeah. He said, how long have you worked? I said, as long as I have. We talked together. He said, nobody ever told me you had a brother. I said, yeah. And he said, okay, you guys come back next week. So we got to do this whole thing again. We come back the next week, and Eddie Gibb was like, when I met you guys last year, I had a bulb go off in my head that I'm looking for an African-American tag team. You guys ever tag together? And my brother goes, yeah, man, we tag all the time, many times. We've never tagged together, ever, once, not one time. You know what I'm saying? But we had been in tag matches before, you know, against each other, but never as a team, because he was a face and I was a heel. So we was like, yeah, man, you know, whatever you want, blah, 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 you know. He said, okay, man, come back next week. You guys going to give you a tryout. And we come back next week, and Eddie Gilbert is fired. So we was like, well, our career ended before it ever got started. You know, that's what we saying to each other. But they go ahead and give us a tryout anyway because, you know, we know they didn't really want us down there. So they put us out there against a couple of guys they were getting rid of, and they were going to let all four of us go at the same time. But what happened was we went out there and brought the house down. Then it was like, well, yeah, you guys come back next week. We'll, you know, look at you again, blah, blah, blah. But 3 months later, it was, that building was full of people with Ebony Experience signs.
That's awesome.
That's how the whole thing happened.
That's awesome. And the rest from there is history. And you guys spent some time in Global. And then you guys move up to WCW. And I got to ask you, Kane and Cole, where does that come from?
Well, in all actuality, they were still, it was something that had to do with logistics, or I guess logistics. It probably was legal, and with the names. And it's something, we never really got to the bottom of it. So we just had those names temporarily until they got that. I don't know. I don't know if it was something with Global or just something with WCW, actually. They never did really tell us. And once all the smoke cleared, we had our names again. So that's what a Kane and Cole thing was, just kind of like renter names until we got our cars, until we got our real cars at the shop, you know, something like that.
The original Kane.
So, Kane and Cole, we hated those names, hated them with a passion.
Now,
them had to be the whitest Caucasian names I ever heard of, you know what I'm saying? And I did not like them at all. Nothing against Caucasian names, but they could have thought of anything but that. You know.
But you guys were built from Harlem.
Right.
With Kane and Cole.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess when you put it like that, I guess you're right. I never really thought about it like that.
So being down there, I mean, maybe it sounds weird to say, but I mean, 93, 94, wrestling in the South and with your gimmick with Robert Parker and mm-hmm. the good old boys. I mean, did you guys run into any issues with racism from, like, the fans?
I mean, if you really want to think about it, man, we ran into racism. Going back to that story I was just telling you about Global, that night we came out, they called us every N-word known to man. That same night.
Wow.
As we walked out. And I'm like, wow, this is a big time? Holy shit. Oh, this is the kind of... this kind of stuff you deal with on a regular day. I was okay, you know. But, you know, the thing is, being African-American, things like that, you know how to deal with it coming from certain upbringings. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know how to deal with that. So you know how to shut people up. You can't shut them up by, you know, arguing with somebody or wanting to fight somebody. You just show them how good you are. Because it wasn't the first time we had to go through that. Just show them how good you are. So when you go back to, if you want to, you know, turn the page to WCW, WCW is probably one of the most racist, bigoted companies in the history of mankind, you know, to be honest. That's what it's made of, you know, just a bunch of bigots that, you know, want to let a few people in and want to keep what they got. WCW was no different than America. I mean, America is a racist, bigoted country. And, I mean, people can try to hide behind this, that, and the other, but it is what it is. No disrespect to anybody, but, you know, just call it the way it is. And WCW is no different from, especially some of the, in the professional wrestling world, where they want to keep everything as white as possible. And if you look at wrestling today, they want to keep everything as white as possible. Matter of fact, back in the old independent territories, wrestling had more African Americans than they do nowadays.
Right.
They had lots of big stars. Going all the way back to Sailor Art Thomas.
Yeah.
I guess even before him, you know what I'm saying? Different people like that, the Ernie Lance of the world, you know, the Rocky Johnsons, the Tiger Conways. I mean, just when we were growing up, you know, you've seen an array of African-American wrestlers. Now you only see the African-American, you know, and then they put a gimmick on them that's so cliche and so, you know, they got us in a fishbowl, not a sea or a pond, in a fishbowl. You know, we have to act this way, walk this way, and do this kind of stuff, you know, especially in some of the territories now. So it is what it is, and you just got to be able to deal with it, you know. Luckily, me and my brother was educated enough to know what we were going to do, and that's what we were going to do. And so, we weren't going to compromise for anybody, and that's what we told people in WCW and people in Global. No, we're this.
So
if you want that shucking and jive and hit button, you know, rah, 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 you know, if you want that guy, that's not us.
So you still see this as a big problem. Do you have any examples, anything that you've come across recently?
No, not me personally. I mean, I don't know exactly what you're saying. It's me as an African-American man walking around in today's world? Is that what you mean?
No, have you noticed anything, and I think what Tony is trying to say, in today's current product with how African-American wrestlers are either booked, where their placement is on the card, and what they're asked to do?
Well, I don't keep up with it as much today as I did back then. I don't watch the show as much. But when I do, you know, I'm looking at WWE and these guys. They brought in a couple of tag teams. I can't remember the guys' names. It was
the Titus O'Neil,
not the Prime Time players, but the guys before them.
Oh, Crime Time.
You talk about what was it?
You talk about Shad and JTG, Crime Time.
Right. Now listen to that word.
Yep.
Listen to that. Yep. Crime Time. I mean that says it all.
Spelt with Y.
And then
so
I'm looking at their gimmick where they're stealing from people when they're not looking and things like that. Is that really how America looks at black people today? Really? That we're nothing but thieves at a walking fuck up. Is that all we are?
What do you think?
The guy that doesn't want to take care of his child, like they put on the Maury Povich show, the guy that's dysfunctional, I mean, the people that's dysfunctional families and shit. Is that what we are? No. That's everybody. That's America. Why is it just, when it's just put out there, though, on television, it's just us? And I got a fucking problem with that.
And as you should, that's a very broad question that transcends what wrestling is supposed to be, and it just speaks to, I guess, our nation as a whole. And wrestling has always been viewed different than like a movie. There's still a sense of realism in professional wrestling where people tend to believe it more than they do when it's a movie or a TV show. So, because it's live in your face all the time with kids seeing it. And I agree with you. I never honestly ever really thought about it until you just put it out there like that. And when you think about the realism that people take from wrestling when everyone knows what it is.
Now, there's one thing I can say, man. As far as how people felt about us, I mean, you know, I can't change what's in your heart. But the only thing me and my brother wanted was respect. And we got it.
Yes, sir.
And we earned it. Because I could give two shits about what somebody thinks of me personally. As long as you don't step across the line, we cool.
There you go.
And that's just the way I live my life. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have hatred in my heart, and I don't have bigotry in my heart. And, you know, everybody has it in some way, shape, or form, but you got to learn how to, you know, equip your mind to go around that. Because when you grow up in a society like ours that's got so many different people, you know, and so many different facets of people and races and creeds and religions and so on and so forth, you got to be able to get along with everybody and try to respect everybody, because it'll come up. It's been many times I've been in a store and they say, a foreign guy, you know, and I'm pissed off because he's a foreign guy. I have to catch myself. That's fucking wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's wrong. Don't do that. Don't think that way. And it comes out, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, wow, I got to be a bigger person than that. And so over the years, I've always trained myself to be that way.
Stevie, I just want to take it a different direction. I know that you said you and your brother didn't compromise anything, you know, in Global or WCW. There's a pretty famous interview that you and your brother and Sherry had with Mean Gene. You knew I had to ask you.
We
man.
Had to. We're sorry.
You know I had to ask
you. Hey, look, man, I thought you said you were going in a different direction. This is the same direction.
No. This is why I say it's a different direction.
Okay.
Because your brother lets it drop, and immediately you could see his demeanor change, and he puts his face in his hands.
Right.
Sherry kind of giggles and whispers to him. But
right,
man,
like it's okay. It's
you,
okay, baby.
You
yeah.
were ice cold, and you didn't flinch. What's going through your mind at that point?
Cause I've heard him call a lot of people a nigga. This wasn't nothing new to me. It might have been new to Sherry and Mean Gene and the guys in the truck. Cause I know the guys in the truck. It was loud. I know they were in the truck dying. I know. But we all used to mess with those guys. You know what I'm saying? And I know they were in the truck dying. But, hey, you know, I've heard my brother call many people a nigga. So what the fuck? Okay, you a nigga too. right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the real realism when we got into that moment, because what had happened was we had done that interview earlier that night. I don't know what happened. They came back, and we were dressed for sure. We were getting ready to go wrestle that night in Tupelo, Mississippi. Never forget it. And so we had to do it live, and now we've been over the match with whoever we were working with, so you got a lot of things on your mind, you know? Now you got to get back into interview mode, and I don't know, some kind of raw emotion got in the midst of what he was thinking or what he was trying to do at the same time, and it came out. I'm like said, did he just call? Okay, yeah. Okay. I never lost character because, you know.
did Hulk Hogan ever have any sort of reaction to that?
Yeah, he did. He was really, well, my brother actually, I mean, it really bothered my brother. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It really bothered him, whereas all the guys were like ripping him like, what's up, nigga? You know what I'm saying? You know, Randy Savage, whoever, you know what I'm saying? They just got a big, big, big kick out of it. I mean, it was the talk of the night, you know? So the next day, we go to, I can't remember what time we were in, but we go to do Nitro. The live show, Nitro, after the pay-per-view that Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I was sitting at a table. You know, we were in catering. And I'm sitting at the table, and Hogan comes in. So me and Hogan used to always talk about, you know, cars and motorcycles whenever we talk, you know what I'm saying, because he's in the cars and like myself. And he was getting ready to get him some food or something like that, and Randy Savage and them came in. He's like, hey, Hulk, man, what's going on, man? You know Booker T called you a nigga. And I guess they wanted to see just how Hulk was going to react to it. And he was like, man, that's okay, man. At least I'm a good nigga.
I can't.
The whole catering area popped. I mean, just everybody in that catering room just popped. And I think that's when some of the pressure kind of came off my brother. That's a true story. I've never told it before.
That's incredible.
In a situation like that, though, I mean, it's cool with everybody. Like once that door's been open, I mean, you know, the guys were joking around and, you know, like nobody got hot that these guys all of a sudden just started letting the word fly.
No, because that's the pro wrestling world. You see what I'm saying? You open it up for them to do that. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you had said, hey, look, y'all, don't approach me like that word again, they would have stopped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the wrestling world, it's Rip City. It is Rip City from the time you get in the business to the time you get out. And some people are notorious for it. So you just got to roll with the punches, man. That's what you signed up for, you know. And after Hogan did that, it died. It pretty much died that day.
That's great.
In my ears. I don't know about my brother's ears, but in my ears.
Well, again, great that people have a sense of humor with that. Moving towards, we mentioned Sherry during that interview. When Sherry was inducted into the Hall of Fame, she had nothing but amazing things to say about both you and Booker T.
Right.
What was it like? I know you guys obviously felt the same way about working with Sherry, but just for our listeners, go back to that time where you worked with Sherry and what that meant to you.
I mean, that was the best times in WCW. That was our best times when all three of us worked together, because they had tried out a few people with us wanting to be managers. Frankly, to be honest, me and my brother didn't want a fucking manager. I mean, what the fuck we need a manager for? Another, you know, white dude that need to talk for two black guys? Man, suck my dick. Who needs that shit? And we know what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? So we was like, every time they put somebody out there, we was like, man, we don't want to fucking work with that guy. And they knew we were disgruntled about it. And they'll do a little, they take us in, to the studios to do a little promo with some guy with a fucking suit on, trying to be a rip-off of a fucking Jimmy Carnage or some shit like that, you know. And he's like, I can't even remember who they were. I just remember we had told each other, we ain't finna go for this shit. But then one day we were at a TV taping. You know, we used to do the Power Hour stuff and all that kind of stuff. And Sherry was there. She had been working with Savage, I think. I can't remember. And I guess they were killing that thing off. And one day we was at a TV taping and we were talking to her. Because we always admired her, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, hey, how would you guys like for me to be your match manager? And me and my brother looked at each other and go, that sounds good. A white chick? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two black guys? Now that works. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So now you got heat on both sides of the aisle. You know what I'm saying? You got black people saying, why they got to have a white chick come out with it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And you got heat from white people from just being a black guy, period.
Sister so Sherry.
Now it works. Now you got something. And that's why we call her sister. Because you call, you know, sisters are referred to as, you know, referred to a black woman.
Right.
Or an African-American woman. You know what I'm saying? So we call her sister. And we spell it like sister, not sister. Not, you know, so when that worked and we all started talking on the phone, you know, we do matches and we pick up a cell phone and say, yeah, we just did it. Yeah, blah, 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 you know, and people, who are they talking to? So everybody just knew it was going to be some cliche, you know what I'm saying, white manager in a suit or some bullshit that they did 50,000 times in wrestling. And the night Sherry came out, oh, it blew the roof off the place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, those were some of the best. We rode all over this country together and overseas, the whole thing. And that was Harlem Heat. That was the real Harlem Heat.
Right. And
Booker T, Stevie Ray, and Sister Sherry. That was the real Harlem Heat. That was real.
And you mentioned, I don't think it could have worked with anybody else but Sherry. And at this time, in fast forwarding 94, 95, 96, the WCW tag team division was probably the most stacked tag team division with top names like the Steiner Brothers, the Road Warriors, the Nasty Boys. You had Ming and Haku and Barbarian. Yeah. And yourselves obviously were probably the most unknown to other people. You were fresh faces in a sea of former WWE veterans. Yeah. And stuff like that. How much of that do you contribute to just you and Booker T? And
all
how much
of
that is Sherry? Or is it just
all of it?
All of it. Because you guys
all
managed to...
And I hate to sound cocky, you know, or arrogant. But up until Harlem Heat got hot, the tag team ranks was actually dead.
Right.
In WWE and WCW. Once Harlem Heat got hot, tag teams became relevant again, like they were in the 80s. And that's something that me and my brothers very, very proud of. Now, there were tag teams, but not with the heat that we had. We had the old 80s type heat with tag teams.
Absolutely.
When tag teams were really tag teams, not just two guys thrown together. You know what I'm saying? That was what, and people knew it from the global days also. You know what I'm saying? That was what we're very, very proud of, that we brought tag team wrestling back to the forefront and back to main event wrestling, where your main event is a tag team.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And before that, it was pretty much done. It was, you know, fizzling out. I'm not going to say done, but it was fizzling out. And they were putting these guys together, and it didn't work. And, you know, WCW was always chronic for trying to copy what Vince is doing. But they were never very good at it.
Right.
So the Harlem Heat thing, they weren't good at that either. But we helped them put it together. They put it out there, but we helped them. Because, you know, we chose our clothes. We chose the way we talked. We chose how we were going to do this. We chose our finishes. We chose everything. They didn't really do anything but just put us out there. And that's what made it work.
What was with the Breathe Right strips?
Why you say it like that?
I don't know. I was watching a lot of Harlem Heat matches
recently. That goes back to what I'm talking about. That goes back to, you know, just the individuality of what we were doing that nobody else was doing.
And watching these...
Breathe Rights, because if you look at race car drivers, they wear Breathe Rights. If you look at football players, they wear Breathe Rights. And you look at other sports, they wear them. So we say, we're going to wear them. We're going to be the first in wrestling to do it. That's why we did it.
Brilliant. Fair wow. enough. I mean, watching you back in the day, I mean, and I'm sure you're still built like a fucking house, you guys were big. Like, you towered over a lot of guys. Like, even next to the Steiners and the Road Warriors, you guys were massive. And to watch you guys move the way you did, it was a beautiful thing.
I appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for entertaining me. Did you have someone in specifically that you like to work with? I noticed that when you were involved in tag matches with Bagwell, it seemed like you guys had great chemistry. Did you have a favorite guy to work with?
We worked with Bagwell. They put Bagwell with so many different people.
Right.
We kind of knew his tender. I mean, when we first got there, he was with Tuco Scorpio. Then they put him with
Scotty Riggs.
The Patriot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With Scotty Riggs. We had to work all those teams, you know, Stars and Stripes.
Yep.
Him and Scotty Riggs, I can't remember.
American Males.
Yeah, the American Males. So, good baby face. Always a very good baby face, Marcus Bagwell. And Scotty Riggs, you know, and their Patriot, you know, and Tuco Scorpio. So, you know, that's pretty much how he got his feet wet also. So, it was pretty cool.
Did you have a favorite opponent yourself?
Favorite opponent. I don't know if I had a favorite opponent, but I had my most least favorite to work with.
Here we go.
I did have that.
Oh, please let us know.
And with, you know, with meaning no disrespect, and it was I can't remember the names now. But it was Rob Parker was their manager.
Dick Slater and Mike Enos?
No.
Yeah, no, Dick Slater and
Bunkhouse Buck?
Yes.
What a shitty tag team.
Nothing against them, but we just never could, because we were heels as well as them, and they tried to make us face. You know what I'm saying? And it just never clicked. You know, the good workers, great workers, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes, even when you got great workers, it's hard to get that chemistry because, you know, we worked nightly with all those other guys I was telling you about. We worked nightly with the Steiners. We worked nightly with the Stars and Stripes and with the Nasty. I mean, nightly, yearly. I mean, all over the country. So we could do stuff with our eyes closed. But with those guys, man, we just never could get a chemistry with them. Never could.
All right, Stevie Ray, enter the NWO, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Possibly at that time, the only two guys you talked about, they working Bunkhouse Buck and Slater as heels versus heels. You guys were heels. The NWO were heels. Probably the only two guys that could have made Harlem Heat baby faces.
Possibly, yes.
So what was it like when that role started to – I mean, you guys still – I still remember the moment when Hall and Nash invade. You roll up, I think, Luger or Sting for the belts. And you guys are still doing underhanded things, yet you're doing it to guys in your own company. What was that whole NWO dynamic like, and what did that do to Harlem Heat as a team?
Well, at the time, if I remember this correctly – the NWO thing, this is just my personal feelings, was pushed ahead of everything else on the show to the detriment of everything else. So frankly, I was a fan of it at first, but then I seen where it was going. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I'm very observant when it comes to things. And it became a buddy clique within the ranks. Nothing against any of the guys, Hall, Nash, you know, all of us were cool. Hogan, Savage, all those guys, we're cool with all of them. But just as a participant, how it took precedence over everything else on the show. And I fucking hated that with a passion. Even when I was in the NWO, I didn't give a shit for it very much, because it was, they had put it over on everything else, like the rest of the show didn't mean shit. And that's a part of WCW where the real ignorance for different people that was in high positions fucked shit up, you know. And then you had guys calling their own shots, you know, like Hall, Nash, Hogan, so on and so forth, you know, at least come in, nah, we're going to do this tonight and blah, blah, blah. And to me, one man's opinion, that's not how things should be ran. You will never see that in WWE. But that happened, you know. But it was good when it first took off. If they had did it the right way, it could have really, really been like the match. We had a Halloween Havoc match with Hall and Nash. And that, you know, everybody was waiting to see that, you know. Oh, okay, now somebody big and bad enough. See if y'all can mess with Booker T and Stevie Ray. You know what I'm saying? And the fans really got into that. But you know, that was the only night we ever worked in a live show.
Because
of the show. That was the first and last time.
That sucks.
But you got to lead the NWO Black and White, man.
Huh?
You got to lead the NWO Black and White, didn't you?
Man, that was fucking garbage.
Let me ask you something. All this is going down. You're not a big fan. Was there ever the idea or an option for you to jump ship to go to WWF? Or were, at this point, you were just fucking pay me and let
me... No, in all actuality... matter of fact, one of the guys, can't remember his name, we were at the Hall of Fame last year, and he was telling us how they wanted to get us so bad when we were hot, when we were really doing the, you know, Sherry, Booker, Stevie thing.
Right.
And I can't remember the guy's name. He's been up there with Vince for years. And he just had to tell me this because I never met him before. He's like, man, we wanted you guys so bad. Why, they were saying, why can't we get those? Well, WCW knew that me and my brother was trying to play out our contract. And we had been talking to a liaison, you know, behind the scenes from Vince. We never talked to them. Personally, we were talking to a go-between, you know what I'm saying, which kept everything legal. And me and my brother, we would have gone to WWE. And they called us in and tore our contracts up and gave us a 3-year deal. And that's what happened. That's why we never went to WWE.
Jesus, from what you're saying with how you hated the being a part of the NWO, I can only imagine how you felt about the new Harlem Heat that they threw you in.
That was just something to do. I mean, I'm going to tell you, after, be honest, man, after they had let Sherry go, and they start doing all these crazy-ass things on the show. I mean, if you look at the show, how it was pre-NWO as to post-NWO, look at how better the show was. The show was much better.
Yeah.
Because you had storylines with so many different people. Once the NWO thing happened, you had storylines about them. Nothing else really mattered.
Right.
Nothing else really mattered. I mean, and I'm just telling you from what I know because I saw it. Now, don't get me wrong. I was just grumbled for the show, not so much as myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I was always like, we bigger than this. That NWO thing started out really, really hot, and everybody in the country got with it. But, man, if you ain't got the guile or the know-how to take it to another level, then fuck it. Leave it alone. Just, you know, let it go out. You know what I'm saying? But it was an accident. It was somebody tripped over something and found, you know, like you trip over a bag of money, go, oh, what? Look, man, 20 grand. You know, it ain't like you went and worked for that money. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of materialized and it blew up. And it was good for a while, but then once it took over everything else on the show, I mean, it was like, what the fuck have you got here? I mean, it was like, it wasn't fun anymore. You know?
And
it was just something to do.
And just to backtrack a little bit to the time in the NWO, your turn to join the NWO was right around the time that the Ultimate Warrior made his debut in WCW.
Right.
What was it like? You did the War Games match with the three, I think it was three teams. I think it was WCW, Nation, or whatever, Wolfpack and you guys. What was it like working with that Ultimate Warrior for, albeit a brief period?
Man, I have no idea why that shit even took place. I mean, no disrespect to the Warrior.
Right.
But come on, man. Stop trying to dig up the past. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's fucking, this guy can't draw flies with shit anymore. You know? I'm sorry. I mean, no disrespect.
It's a fair assessment. I mean, just because the guy's passed on doesn't mean that what happened then didn't happen.
I mean, I would say the same thing if he was living. Like I said, this got nothing to do with him.
Right.
You know, it's the people that put this bullshit together, man. I mean, like I say, that guy was hot in the WWF years ago. Now you're trying to bring this bullshit over here. You know, let that shit. If you can't think of original ideas, then hire somebody who can.
Fair enough.
I mean, good grief. And so he was dead. I mean, this guy has held Vince McMahon up like Bonnie and Clyde. You know, that's who he is.
Right, that's true.
And he was a guy that a lot of people didn't have a lot of respect for. I didn't know him. He was cool with me. Whenever we talked, like, what's up, Jim? What's going on? She, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just going by, you know, what I've heard, which is maybe not fair. But, you know, a lot of those stories, all of them can't be. I've heard this from people I know personally. Go, oh, man, this guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know if he's going to do the same, he did the same thing up there, you know what he's going to do down here. So why even entertain the fact of bringing in, like, the Big Show, who was Paul White? You bring him in, he throws a shirt at Hulk Hogan. I remember this like it was yesterday. And Hulk goes, hey, I know this shirt. This is Andre's shirt.
I remember that.
What the fuck, man? I mean, really?
Yeah.
It was
bad, man.
Oh, man. I'm like, is this, what kind of gag is this, man? This is vaudeville, brother. I mean, come on. Why is this great? The guy in as a new young giant. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, whatever. What's wrong with that? Oh, but this is Andre's. Man, I know my brother better than anybody on earth. I don't know what kind of fucking shirt he got. I don't know what the fuck he bought lately. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, this is Booker T-shirt. Really? Man, I said, when the sweatshop must have made $50 on fucking shirts. How you know what it is? You know what I'm saying? In China somewhere. I mean, come on, man. I don't know. Maybe I just don't make sense to myself.
No,
I don't know.
No,
crazy, man.
Making perfect sense.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
I know, dog. I know this shit might sound crazy, but that's just the way I analytically looked at things. I'm like, really?
So,
wow.
Oh, wow.
How much,
Stevie, you're the best, man.
You are. You're fantastic. I can't. I am now annoyed that I have to work Friday night and I won't be at 10:31 for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I know Tony and Kevin will probably be there because I got to shake your hand at some point.
Absolutely.
We'll meet up somewhere.
You're fucking awesome. I'm just going to say it now.
Hey, man, I'm just like, when they call me straight shooting Stevie Ray, Tony Savani used to call me that. When they call me straight shooting Stevie Ray, that is what people, they knew. Don't ask me because I'm going to give you my real opinion. And I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's where I was going.
How
much input did you have into the idea to have you lose the retirement match and then have you become a color commentator? Because you were throwing out, calling the bitches yaks and then suckers gots to know. Fucking awesome. The only reason to watch Thunder was Stevie Ray on the color commentary.
It's funny you say that because my nephew, he's 26, 27 years old right now. And this weekend was my aunt's 85th birthday party that we gave her in Dallas, Texas. And me and my nephew were sitting at the table together and we were talking about some different things and this, that, and the other. And he said, you know, Unc, man, when you used to do commentary, you used to make me laugh so hard. And he never told me this before. You know, I was like, really? He said, yeah, man, some of the stuff you used to say was just so funny. Me and my, he said, I would go to schools and my friends would always say, man, your uncle is so funny. And, man, I was just being me.
Right.
Just
and, being me. And you mentioned, yeah. Speaking of the commentary, once the WCW buyout from Vince happens, was there ever any talk of bringing you in that sort of role?
No, it wasn't. Not that I know of. They wanted to bring me in a wrestling role.
Oh, did they?
I had told my brother I didn't want to wrestle anymore, man. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to be on the road anymore. My daughter was in the years where I really wanted to be around. You know what I'm saying? She was going junior, middle school, junior high, stuff like that. And I just knew I couldn't be on the road anymore. Cause I had been on the road for years from the day she was born, you know, until she was seven. And then I was going back and forth overseas for
was that Ernest Miller's thing or?
No, this was a dude named McMantis out of.
The WWA,
the World Wrestling All Stars, I think.
Right. So I did that to like 03, early 04, and. By that time, my daughter was right at 10 years old, and I just wanted to be, you know, help raise her. You know.
Now, were you still one of those contracts? Were you still under contract when WWE bought out WCW?
My contract, I think it went for maybe a few months, something like that.
Okay, so you were
it was over.
Okay,
it was
so you were
3 months.
You were able to sit home and get a couple more checks before.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's basically what. Right. That's what I wanted to know.
And then we started going overseas for WWA. So it worked out good for me because I loved going back and forth overseas. I really did. I really loved it. It was a good time. Very good time. And I probably would have still been doing that, you know. But then I had opened my detail shop and. Then it gave me time to be home, and then I could be gone, and then time to be home, and then I could be gone. So it gave me time to do that and, you know, hang out with my daughter at the same time. So I just didn't want to be gone anymore. And wrestling had, and the way Vince McMahon is, I mean, hell of a businessman, but I wanted Harlem Heat. I wanted people to remember Harlem Heat as the ass-kicking brothers that they were. I didn't feel as though I wanted that to be changed. You know what I'm saying? Because people always remember recent memory. And I think Harlem Heat, people always remember us the way we were. And if we had went to New York, who knows what Vince might have turned us into. And I don't know if I could have stomached it, to be honest.
Fair enough,
That's
man.
Very valid, being based on a history of what they've done with WCW.
Well, I mean,
talents.
I told everybody. I mean, me and Ernest Miller, I used to tell him all the time. What was going to happen to everybody from WCW that went up to WWE? And he didn't listen to him. Oh, no, man, we don't do this.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years later, I said, remember when I told you he was going to do this? He was going to do that? I say, why would any businessman that I've got hundreds and maybe millions of dollars invested in these guys, and I'm going to bring in these guys to be over them? Really?
And I guess, believe it or not, if anyone was kind of the exception to the rule or the quote unquote rule, it would have been your brother.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, I guess he was never stone cold, but you know what I mean? Like he kind of broke through a little bit.
You are 100% right. But that goes back to what I was saying. Anybody that knew Booker T in WCW was a no bag down fighting shit talking brother. But see, Vince had to turn him into his kind of brother.
All right.
Before I can put any kind of money behind you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do.
He wasn't a Booker T from WCW.
He was King Booker. And it was a comedy.
It was a more tamed version. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But his way. And my brother knew that. You know what I'm saying? But hey, it is what it is. And... that's, like I said, that has nothing to do with Harlem Heat. Because when they think about Harlem Heat, they think about something totally different from a King Booker. Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they think of one of the greatest tag teams in the history of the sport. And if you are in the Rahway, New Jersey area, the New York metropolitan area, you need to get down to the Rahway Rec Center this Friday night, 10:31. $40 gets you a photo op with one of the greatest tag teams in the world. And our guest tonight, Mr. Stevie Ray, him and Booker T, they're going to be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate this Friday night. You do not want to miss out. It's a stacked card. And anytime you get to see one of the greatest tag teams reunite, you do not want to miss out on that.
Hands down, one of the top five tag teams of all time.
You know, I have to disagree with something that you just said.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. What did I do?
Oh, no. Yeah. We wasn't one of the greatest. We were the greatest.
There you go.
Hard to argue.
Slap Jack on your ass.
Like I told Bill after, there's a lot of champions, just like boxing, WBC, WBA, IBF, this, that, and the other. But Stevie Ray and Booker T were like Larry Holmes, who was the champion for 7.5 years.
Hell yeah.
Not even Mike Tyson did that.
Don't. Again, very hard to argue your point, my friend.
I miss Larry Holmes. He was my favorite. He was my favorite.
He was probably one of mine too.
7.5 years, brother. You might getting up every day and knowing for the next almost 8 years, I'm whooping everybody's ass.
Nice. That must be a great feeling.
Yeah, man.
For those of you guys out there, you want to stay in touch. You want to follow Stevie Ray's on the Twitter @ The Stevie Ray. And every Tuesday, just throw up Slapjack Tuesday. Use Fruit Booty. # that shit. You see some fucking retarded shit on the internet, you go, you fucking Fruit Booty, I'm going to hit you with a slapjack. But make sure you tag and you do that little @ The Stevie Ray on Twitter. Stevie Ray, it has been a pleasure.
This was unbelievable, sir.
Hey, I appreciate it, bro.
Hey, before we let you go, do you have anything else that you'd like us to put out there for you? Anything you want to
plug?
Any
shows coming up down at the school or
anything that you're involved in?
Actually, right now, man, I'm working on putting a synopsis together for a show that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and I'm trying to put that together. It has nothing to do with professional wrestling, though.
All right.
It is a show that I want to do about the car, motorcycle, anything that's got something to do with a motor and wheels from an urban point of view. Because I see all these shows on television that's got all these, nobody's represented in the car world that's African American. And I think that guy should be me.
I think that you're right.
I have no arguments against that. That sounds like a great idea.
Not only that, I'm very knowledgeable when it comes to, you know, the automobile world, the motorcycle world, the auto racing world, the motorcycle racing world. Just putting things together, building things. That's what's been my hobby for the last 40 years.
Well, so, Jason Hervey and Eric Bischoff are always looking for shows. Maybe we can get something going.
Anyway.
Sorry, I ruined the interview with that one line.
No, man. I'm a big fan of Jason Hervey. You know that. Jason's always my boy, man.
Yeah, awesome, man.
We talked to him a few months ago, too. Really cool guy.
Very nice guy.
So... once we get the synopsis together, I might shoot it by him. Because what I'm trying to do, I want to do it and represent Texas and show the rest of the United States that Texas has as many car people as the rest of the world, California and all these other places. And that's really what I'm going to do. And I want to call the show Urban Rides.
Nice.
Nice.
Don't sleep on Texas.
Right.
There you go. All right, well...
Stevie, thank you so much again, and we will see you this Friday, man.
Hey, that'll work, man. Appreciate everything.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too.
Jimmy Hart, there's a wimpy little manager with a megaphone in hand, telling lies with great authority. At speed to beat the band, from his television interviews, he thinks he's pretty smart. His big mouth is from the South, and he is known as Jimmy Hart. He laughs at such high frequencies that dogs for miles away would sooner be attending a big fireworks display. From the laces of his gym shoes to his pointy little nose, I'm looking for the day when he starts reaping what he sows. He's a hypocritical manager who likes to shuck and jive. He sounds like an album being played at 45. The junkyard door exposing Jimmy's panties on TV was the most deserving branding ever seen on NBC. The Manager of the Year award was confidence-destroying. It's a shame they didn't have a prize for this year's most annoying. You will not find Jimmy Hart wherever peace of mind survives. He's scratching fingernails on the blackboards of our lives. I am Leaping Lanny.
Well, guys, that was a great interview with Stevie Ray. Unfortunately, we're running out of time in studio, so we're not going to get to any news. It doesn't matter anyway. It's all bullshit. Stevie Ray was the man. Matt, you have some plugs you want to get to? Just real quick, ShiningWizards.com. We are done with the Kick Cancer shirts. Thank you guys all for your support. If we do have any available in the future, we'll let you know. But, of course, we do have a couple of Kick logo shirts, and we will have a special shirt coming out in the next couple of weeks. You don't want to miss that. But everything else, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, ShiningWizards.com. We're slowly but surely building up the database again, as you heard tonight. Matthew, plugs.
All right, we got a couple guys. Like we said, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, 10:31 this Friday night. Make sure you are in Rahway, New Jersey. It is a stacked card. The Rahway Rec Center, 6 o'clock signing, 8 o'clock wrestling. Harlem Heat's getting back together. DDP is going to be there. Mario Bocara defends the PWS Championship against the Monster Abyss. The Wolves, the TNA Tag Champions, take on the PWS Tag Champions, the Reynolds Brothers. Kevin Matthews will pick a mystery partner to take on the team of Brian Myers and Tyler Rex. Starman Bonesaw, Homicide versus Falaba. So much more.
With Edwards Jackson.
With Edward Jackson. My apologies. Reality Check, Heavenly Bodies. It's a stacked card, top to bottom.
Harlem
Larry
Heat.
Johnson's going to be there.
Him.
Sasha Mitchell from Step by Step. For all you 90s kids out
Dude.
There. There's a haunt, a walkthrough. There's Trunk or Treat. I mean, if you're going to spend your Halloween out, spend it at the PWS show this Friday night. If you are in the southeast, yeah, that's where New Orleans is.
Yeah.
You're in
no,
the southeast?
It's not.
Sure, kind
of. Kind of.
It's not
in the south.
Like, it's not.
The Mid-South? The
Mid-South, Mid-South is like Texas, right?
No, Mid-South is that area, Louisiana, Georgia.
All right, well, if you're in the Mid-South, Saturday, November 8th.
If you're in Junkyard Dog's old stomping grounds, yeah, it is Mid-South. That's Louisiana.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wildcat, pro wrestling. Stevie Ray's brother, Booker T, is going to be there.
Booker T.
Bob
Booker
Holly,
T with us.
Luke Hawks.
Big
Batista. 666.
Oh.
Bestia.
Bestia.
It's not Batista.
No.
Drax Destroyer.
Revolution Rumble, November 8th,
nice.
2014. WildcatSports.com.
With a K.
That's, with a K.
Don't forget.
And then our brothers to the north, Smash Wrestling.
Smash-Wrestling.com.
They just Jesus had their
fuck.
Second anniversary show. Go to Smash-Wrestling.com to see the results. Lots of big things happening in the future.
Like
they
my
have
dick.
A show November 23rd in the Ontario, Canada area.
It's in Mississauga, right?
Mississauga.
Your
Mississauga.
Favorite person and mine, Drew Gulak and Biff Busick, make their Smash Wrestling debut.
I hope
Chris Sabin will be in action. Matt Cross will be defending his Smash.
I hope they pull an
Wrestling
elegant on Gulak.
Heavyweight Championship of the World and much, much more. Smash-Wrestling.com for your favorite Canadian wrestling.
Yay.
And much, much less.
Guys, you also have the Pro Wrestling Marathon, not till March 6th, 7th, and 8th. A lot of great talent already announced for the show. The Rock and Roll Express, Colt Cabana,
Steve
Carino, the Spirited Squad, Eddie Edwards, our friend the Blue Meanie, Joel Gertner, and just announced last week or 2 weeks ago, Kevin Sullivan will be there. That's 4 shows in 3 days, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. There's a website again. I'm still going on the same email that I've had. Oh, it's a Facebook. It's BostonProWrestlingMarathon.com. It'll take you to the Facebook page. So yeah, there's that. So,
and
I think I have Ebola.
I think I have your Ebola.
Oh yeah, holler.
That's gonna do for us. I'll put in some music in post. I think I have just the perfect song to end tonight's show. But for Matt and Kevin, I'm Tony, and
I already have it, son.
Are you plugged back in?
Oh, shit.
Stupid ass.
Stupid ass.
Come on, man. The studio's closing. They're shutting
off. I can plug comedy for myself then. Oh, I guess I can't.
I was going to close it with that anyway.
Plug your comedy.
This Sunday night, Montclair, New Jersey, Tierney's Tavern, myself. I'll be hosting a show featuring one of the last Comic Standing finalist, Mr. Mike Gaffney. He's very funny guy. So if you're in Essex County, the northeastern area of New Jersey, head over to Tierney's in Montclair. It's going to be a fantastic show. At Kevin Garifo on the old Twitter box.
And I just want to say hi to Tim Grimes. I haven't said hi to him in a long time.
Can you leave that hatch open next week before we even get here?
Sorry.
I'm having like a heat stroke.
I know. It's just that it was warm out today, so the basement didn't get a chance to cool down.
That's true. This is how studio. I love ending Sorry. Shows.
You're going to have to hose down this chair.
I just want to mention that you and Kevin both were putting on the urban kind of thing near the end of the interview. I thought it was kind of hilarious.
What?
Thank you.
Listen back. You'll hear it. Good night, everyone.
Don't sleep on Texas?
Kinda.
What?
Later, bitches.
We didn't even talk news, did we?
No.
Oh, you want some news?
Nah, that's fine. We're done. It's late.
Fuck it.
Well, next lately, week. CM Punk...